This is PFW in progress.
Is she looking at me now? No. How about now? Is she looking over here now? No. What about now? Is she looking now? No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked. See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
Your money? You know what else? You're a big winner tonight. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino? Huh? Mikey, that's who. Mikey's the big winner. Mikey wins.
And you never know who else might stop by. PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world still is the same. You never change it. As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone. There was like three full sentences.
Well, you know, I'm all confused here because
It's a matter, day. Fred?
Brad Feldman and the Rev Soccer was just here. The headphones on, headsets on, everything's all kashambles. I got a
kashambles.
I got a sausage sitting in front of me.
Whoa!
He told me to hold it, so I held it.
All right. Well, anyway, welcome to PFW in progress. The gang's all here, minus Mike Parenti.
He's doing
webs this week.
He's doing webs this week. Does that mean he's also doing practice?
Webkins. Yep.
We would hope, yeah.
So he's going to come in and give us a practice report?
Let's hope.
Let's hope?
Yeah. He's a rookie. He's a rookie, Fred.
Why do we have to hope? Why can't you? Because
he's a rookie. He makes mistakes.
He'll be here. Okay.
I have a little preview of his. I bet you Russ Hochstein has a black jersey.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm back. I apologize for missing yesterday. I was busy getting ready for the hall at Patriot Place. Ribbon cutting is tomorrow with the CEO of Raytheon. It's a big event here at the stadium, so everyone's scrambling to get things done, but it is going to be fantastic.
Everyone but Brian,
so
the director
Monday
of the museum.
Is the first day it'll be open to the public. If you're within driving distance, get down here. Check this thing out. It is going to be amazing.
Fred, from what I understand, you are correct to be apologizing for not being here.
Well, I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Because my goodness.
Yeah. Now, I heard that the Neckin show was excellent. Andy and Paul, I got rave reviews on that. A lot of people emailed in.
Gary giving the thumbs up.
Very well done, informative show. Who was it? Rick Girardi did it with you?
Mike Girardi. And I would like to take credit for that, Andy and I, but I think the change in hosts had as much to do with that as anything.
I heard it was a very good show. However, on the other hand, yesterday's radio show, from what I hear, was an abomination.
Well, clearly the issue is Mike Parenti, because I was on both, and one was great, and one stunk.
That, according to Andy and Mike themselves, I got here about 1:30, and I came down, and they were just ripping themselves, saying how bad the show was, and the emailers weren't happy.
I chose to focus on our energy. We brought good energy.
We did get one email, though, today on an Ask PFW that said
people won't like this show.
The head and Dr. Negativity put together a pretty good show.
Compared us to Mike and the Mad Dog on WFAN.
Well, I got about 60 emails
saying otherwise.
Yeah. So, but
James loved us. Go to PFWinProgress.com. The A-Team, it says.
The A-Team?
Well, the A-Team.
What does the A stand for?
I didn't really keep reading.
Andy and I are the eight.
Anyway, I'm here to make up for that today. I didn't get a chance to talk about the game. I'll tell you, I was obviously thrilled. That is a game that I really wanted to win. And even though we did not rape and pillage, we did demasculinize the Jets. I mean, what now? No bra, no Brady. They've got Favre.
No bra.
No bra. What are you babbling about?
No Brady. They have Favre. And they still can't beat us. And as Paul said, you know, the score didn't really indicate it. But the Patriots dominated play, I think.
I think everybody agreed with that. If you saw, like, the report cards people did, straight A's across the board, basically a couple down here or there, I think, you know, all the edges and people that did matchups, Patriots got everything.
Yeah, so that was just wonderful to see. I had a smile from ear to ear and walking down from the press box to the bus. I just couldn't have been happier.
Castle's performance about what we expected, I think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's the way.
Me personally, a little better.
I would say little bit better.
A little bit better. You know, if he had hit that Moss one, I'd be like, I'd have jumped out of my underwear. But
thank God Moss dropped it.
But, you know, I think his eyes were like, you know, headlights when he saw that happen. I think the next time something like that happens, he will connect.
I think there was a half a second delay there that cost
him. Yeah, exactly.
He was also under some pressure on that.
Well, even Belichick said he never really got himself, you know, his feet right for that.
But Moss's thing, they spoke about it on the sideline, and I'm told Moss basically told him, you can't overthrow me, so throw it far and throw it quick.
Right. Mm.
And if you watch the play, the second Moss gets to the DB, he's already putting his hand up because he knows, I've already beaten him.
Right.
Throw it now, I'll run under it.
Exactly.
And there's like a 1.5 second wait, then the throw,
right.
And that delay is what. Yep. Even though I still think it was a drop, I still think Moss could have caught the ball.
Oh, he still could have.
But
yes.
It would have been much easier had the ball gone up in the air a count earlier.
I think aside from that, he did everything that was asked.
Yeah, he managed the game very well. They put him in great position to do that with the play calling. A lot of the screens worked very well, too, because we'd seen them try the screen a lot this year, not always with much success, but it worked really well in that game.
Yep, and I think even the sacks, you know, you don't want to ever see your quarterback get sacked, but he didn't try to, like, go crazy and run around. He took the sack and went on to the next play.
Yeah, you know? He ran a couple of times, but I think that was only as a last resort.
Yeah.
He stayed in the pocket pretty much, pretty well. He took a couple of shots, too, including the one where he rolled up
and
sort of grabbed for his knee. But,
three in a row.
Yeah.
Consecutive
so other plays. Than that, he avoided the sacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bill even said, you know, he was talking about the protection and the routes weren't always in perfect sync, and there were some, you know, they hit some where they had runaway rushers where they knew they might have a runaway rusher. It's a quick pass, get rid of it. There were other times where they had some issues. So it wasn't even like everything worked perfectly and Castle just sort of was along for the ride. He worked within an offense that did some things well, did some things not so well, and building for the next week.
Well, I think the most positive thing, Fred, was the negative plays that he made were things like the sack and underthrowing Moss a little bit. If that's the negative, I think we can all accept the negative. I mean, that's pretty good.
But it won't be.
No, I understand that. But
so you know, far, I see what you're
you're protecting. I mean, negative plays that cost you games are the turnovers, obviously, and, you know, consistently not making the right read, not going where you're supposed to go to the, with the ball. Judging on his completion percentage, I'm guessing he went where he was supposed to go more often than not.
Right. He had 7 incompletions. 3 of them were not his. You can't really blame him. 2 were pass defensed, and 1 was a drop. So the other 4, you can say. So legitimately, he had 4 incompletions that were, you know, either overthrow or underthrows. So I think he did a pretty good job. He looked calm back there. He didn't look flustered like it was his first start since high school, everyone was talking about all week.
Are you counting the batted ball at the line? That was a complete. But see, that one, I would say that's on him. You know, the one
that was completed.
But really, that he got lucky on that one.
Well, he did, but
so we're going to take away a completion.
Yeah,
I'm just saying we got to be objective.
It's a
about
lucky
this.
Play, but it's a tip ball. It's not like it was a bad throw.
I put tip balls on the quarterback.
Oh,
they got to find that lane.
That's tough. You're a tough. That's a tough grader.
Well, I mean, there are quarterbacks that get a lot of balls tipped at the line of scrimmage, and that's on them. I mean, there's some that.
I think there's 1 or 2 balls every single game that get tipped at the line. I think to blame those all on quarterbacks, I don't know.
That's on the quarterback.
Okay.
You know,
that's fine.
That's what I
just think it's a little tough.
That's what I do. I'm a tough guy.
You are. You are a tough guy. That's why you jumped out of your underwear.
Lamont Jordan, you can't say enough about how he ran coming in. I think he might have taken a job away from Sammy Morris. I know they're different types of runners, but I like what I saw.
It's funny. I think the job he's on his way to taking is higher up the depth chart.
Well,
and I'm not saying permanently taking, but taking reps away.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a competition for the lead dog role with this team soon.
Maybe. Well, they made the transaction this week, bringing back Kyle Echol, getting rid of Steven Spock. And we saw Maroney leave the game for most of the second or third quarter. And then he came back late in the fourth quarter, got one carry and sort of got, you know, stuffed in the backfield and then immediately came out. Any concern that that was why the transaction was made, because he had something with his shoulder in that game?
Nope. I'm surprised they put him back in if it was that bad.
I don't think it was. That was the issue.
Yeah.
I think he was kept on the sideline to watch a guy run who was running well and was getting positive yardage, hitting the hole, doing all the things that they would like.
Hey, this is what we'd like you to do.
To do more of, no question.
I think, you know, just looking at Maroney, skill-wise, gift-wise, talent-wise, I think he's the best running back on this roster. But again, with like Chad Jackson, it's upstairs with this guy. Well, he's got to start just hitting the hole.
Yes.
You know? You look at Steven Jackson. I look at him as a very similar type runner as Maroney. The way they hold the ball, the way their stride.
The hair.
But, you know.
Jersey number.
I think Jackson might be a little bigger than Maroney. I'm not sure. He looks a little bigger anyway.
Yeah, I think he is.
But that's the way he should be running.
But okay, I think there's a difference, though. The upstairs part, comparing to Chad Jackson, I think is a little different. This is a guy's,
but that's
he knows the plays.
That's what's going to make him great.
Right, but it's almost like an instinct thing. His instincts tell him to do one thing, and it's not always the right thing, which is hit the hole, try to get the...
Is he a case where he's thinking too much and not hitting the hole?
I think he looks for the big play.
Right.
I think that's the problem. That's been the problem since college. And his running backs coach talked openly about it when we drafted him. That was an issue with him, looking for the big play. And as you get higher in level, the big plays are harder to hit.
Right.
Because everybody else is better.
You have to be patient. And I think, you know, as far as natural gifts, I think he has more than any other running back on this team. I think what's going to get him over the edge is his mental approach to it.
But I think based on the one game, if things continue in that direction, I think you could see more of Lamont Jordan and a little less of Lawrence Maroney.
I'm not saying
he's going to be all of a sudden inactive every week and not a part of the team, but I think that could be something to just watch as this offense moves forward. And as you're having field position and you're looking for positive yardage and avoiding tackles for a loss and those types of things, I think that's interesting to watch.
And if they all stay healthy, that rotational thing is going to be great, because you'll have situations where Maroney or Morris's style is more conducive to where they are on the field, or...
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to throw...
Or they're fresh, just that they're fresh.
Or just that,
even.
Yeah, exactly, that they have fresh legs. And you can just keep putting a 3, 4, 5 even running backs out there, and they're, you know, they're able to pound away at the defense.
Now, you guys might have touched on this yesterday, but... Were you at all surprised about the way Eric Mangini coached that game? I mean...
Or didn't?
Everything sucked. From the 3 runs right to the middle of the line inside the 5... You know, to everything else, his defense. Are you? Did you think that he was going to go after Castle more? Did you think he'd be more less conservative on offense? What do you think?
Well, I wasn't totally surprised that they didn't go after him right away, because they might have been saying, "Well, we don't really know what we're getting out of this guy."
But
and
then once they knew he wasn't going to, you know, soil himself, then what?
I think they did bring the pressure quite a bit. It's just that they didn't get to him.
You're giving a lot of credit to the Patriots' offensive line.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree with Eric in that. I think they waited a little bit, but then I thought when they turned up the pressure, that's when those sacks came.
Right.
You know, kind of halftime, I thought they were a little bit different coming out of the locker room, and they went boom, boom, boom. And those spaces, most of the passing damage was done in the first half.
Yeah. Patriots did a lot of running.
They ran the ball
very
effectively in the second half.
So the Patriots adjusted.
Absolutely. That's what they do better than anybody.
Okay, so Patriots outcoached the Jets.
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yes. Okay. That's usually the case, though.
Fat Eric.
I
think the bigger thing was...
He could eat you, Eric.
The 3 runs
and it would just be an appetizer.
Right? 3 runs at the goal line. I don't care what Brett Favre knows or doesn't know about the offense. 3 runs at the goal line. What are you playing, Pop Warner football?
Well, that's schoolyard football. Put it in Brett Favre, let him run around and make a play, at least on one of the downs.
You can't just line up from the 3-yard line and run straight ahead 3 times in a row and expect to score every time.
No, not with the Patriots front 7.
Not with anybody, Fred. You can't do that. I just thought that was terrible coaching, and I think it turned the whole game.
By the way, correction on Andy. He said that on PFWinProgress.com, it's saying that there's a new A-team. That's up there with a question mark.
Oh, I missed that.
So
conveniently left that fact out of there.
Well, it poses the possibility, doesn't it? At least an option.
Yeah. Like I said.
Doesn't say no A-team.
Like I said, what does the A stand for?
Andy.
All right. So we're moving on, as the Patriots are doing. I'm sure that everything that had to do with the Jets game is now in the rearview mirror, and they're completely focusing on the Miami Dolphins coming up, Matt Castle and the rest of his squad. What do we got? What are you guys thinking about this game coming up? Is this as much a pushover as the media is saying it is?
Well, it was kind of funny that Bill started off his press conference today saying that this reminded him a lot of the Kansas City Chiefs. And my first thought was, what, in that they're horrible? But I just thought that was kind of funny. They have they have a lot of young players.
And all of that stand-up career didn't make it, huh?
I wasn't trying to be funny, Gary.
Shot.
You should have seen the look that Eric just gave Gary.
Yeah.
Like he farted on his pillow.
Yeah, Bill definitely fluffed up the Miami Dolphins more so than is reality. They have struggled mightily. They've been able to run the ball. They've been able to throw the ball. They've been getting killed. I mean, Bolden and they combined for like 325 yards receiving last week. The Dolphin, dismal is a word I've seen. I think I used it when I wrote about him, and I think a lot of people have, and seems to be the appropriate word. They're going through the whole rip it down and build it back up, and you know, Bill said they're bigger and more physical, and that's probably true, but I'm not sure they're better than a 1-15 team from a year ago.
All right. So
it is what it is there. There's just not a lot of talent.
So, but that doesn't – I'm not sure the Patriots are in position to say that the Dolphins are a pushover at this point.
No,
because
they need,
if Matt Castle comes out and throws four picks, then you're going to be in a dogfight.
All the
but
things
if
that
they
we
do
say,
what they did last week, yeah, they're a pushover.
All the things that we say about the Patriots need to avoid the big play on defense, you know, make sure you don't give up any big plays. On offense, just take care of the football. You don't want to give an inferior opponent. Well – on offense, that becomes magnified with Castle because, you're still dealing with, you know, by and large, an unknown. On defense, I think your job is immensely easier, not allowing big plays because you have a quarterback, number one, that doesn't really get the ball downfield that effectively, and number two, just a dreadful set of wide receivers.
And Bill admitted
nothing.
It today when he
Absolutely.
Said he sort of took some of the blame off of Ricky Williams for his 2-point whatever average when
Absolutely.
He said some of that situational, they've been running into overloaded fronts, 8-man fronts against the Cardinals. Well, there's a reason the other team is in 8-man fronts because they have zero fear of you beating them through the air. So
Greg
my guess
Camarillo,
would be
Fred. You hear him?
Rodney Harrison's going to be in the box all week this week.
A relation to Rich?
Teddy,
no.
Teddy Ginn, Ernest Wilford. Derek Hagan and Greg Camarillo.
Stink.
Those are the
stink,
top
stink.
Four receivers, and Camarillo probably right now is number one.
Ted
and,
Ginnabus.
He was who's hot in
and by the way, they don't have Jason Taylor or Zach Thomas to at least provide some sort
anymore.
Of a spark on defense anymore.
And they've moved Matt Roth, a defensive lineman, to outside linebacker, a move that Andy and Paul are interested to see in person because he's a big – he's played defensive tackle for them basically.
Who's
and
that
is now playing Matt Roth. Oh. And is now playing outside linebacker, so it'll be interesting to keep an eye on him. Other than that, take the weekend off and go to a party.
Well, I do want to remind people, and I want to get into some other issues. One, Tom Brady and what he's doing around the team right now. But I do want to remind people that this Saturday at Patriot Place is the reinduction of all the Patriots Hall of Famers at the Hall at Patriot Place, plus the induction of Ben Coates.
Hey,
and that is
okay.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, John. But
you confused him. You got him all befuddled back.
But it is open to the public. It starts at 3 o'clock. Just come to Patriot Place, park anywhere, and parking's free. And it's free to the public. Just come on in. Now, the hall isn't open yet. It won't be open until Monday, but this is an outdoor event, and you can see all the past Hall of Famers. Gil Santos will be emceeing with John Rook.
Yep.
And so it'll be a good event. And then when you're done, go have lunch at CBS Scene or dinner and walk around Patriot Place. Look at
buy
the stores
something.
That are open. Spend money. So that's
cheesecake on a stick. Can walk around with it.
Right. That is this Saturday, 3 o'clock here at Patriot Place. Want to have everyone come out for that.
Gary just almost choked on a sausage when I said that.
Was it his?
I'd never leave the house.
All right. John in L.A. is on the phone. John, how you doing?
I'm not sure. Was Mike just saying he'd never leave Andy's house?
That was Gary.
Gary saying he'd never leave his own house.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to say that no matter what Mike said yesterday, he did a very good job hosting. It was a good show.
Oh, so we have one for Mike. Okay.
Yeah, he was good. Good to hear most everybody back. I wanted to mentioned, Andy was talking about the fact that not that many people commented on his Falk being the Brewski of the offense. But he was good enough to admit that Falk looked sharp. I was going to say that Brewski looked okay.
He did look okay.
He did. He did.
He made a couple of nice plays.
Everyone's citing that one play where he...
He batted the ball away on the pass.
Well, not that one. The one where he hit Favre and then got up and made the tackle downfield.
Oh, right? Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Maybe he's learning something from Jerod Mayo.
Well, he's also, I think, been pushed into a more... not reserve role. He's starting, but...
Situational role?
A situational role that is better suited to his skills at this point in his career. And you see him come off the field in passing situations, so he's not getting spread out maybe quite as thin. And if he has lost a step, he doesn't get in as many open field situations that might take advantage of his diminishing skills.
Have you guys talked about the fact that Terrence Wheatley was inactive?
They might have yesterday. We
it was a good
today.
Show.
I'm very surprised by it. I am.
Yeah.
I was surprised in week one that he didn't start.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously,
big surprise there.
Even more so in week two when he's inactive. Don't have an answer for you.
Well, apparently if you start in the summer in training camp and practice, unless you started the previous year, it's not a good sign because you're going to be out soon. Because Fernando Bryant was cut and Terrence Wheatley isn't even active. And those were the two guys who were taking reps opposite Hobbs.
Yeah. But Will Height, he didn't start, but he was active.
He is active. Yeah. And playing special
but he's
teams.
He's better on special teams, right? Or he plays an actual position on special teams.
My guess is they look at Wheatley more as a return possibility, and Will Height has been doing the gunner stuff and coverage things. But
you haven't heard or noticed anything that would make you think that Wheatley's in the doghouse or anything?
No.
Besides the fact that he's inactive.
I just think that the other corners are better at this point. I mean,
which is weird because he played corner his entire life, hasn't
he? And he played pretty well in camp. I mean, he got burnt by Moss a little bit in the first week or
Who
so.
Didn't?
Exactly. Who doesn't?
Well,
especially if you're a rookie. But he started making plays against Moss
in
camp.
But Ellis Hobbs wasn't there in camp. So
yes, he was.
Well, he missed some of it.
He missed a little, but he was there for most of
it. But let's just say that Ellis Hobbs, Belichick and us, we know he's better. So he gets the start. Then you got Delta O'Neal, who wasn't there in camp, who came, and he might just be better.
Right.
All right? So then after that, you got...
Lewis Sanders,
who I don't know about.
Miss time in camp. That might be the most important one because when he wasn't there and all those reps that Wheatley was getting, maybe he wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And I will say we did predict. We had it wrong because some of the guys at the top didn't even make the team.
Right.
But we did say guys that didn't win that starting job might have trouble playing because they were going to slip down below Brandon Merriweather and some of the guys with versatility. So we kind of saw... I don't think we expected it to be this dramatic where one guy was cut and one guy's inactive, but it was kind of obvious if you weren't starting and Delta O'Neal was a late addition to the mix, that you weren't necessarily in the mix for reserve action sub-package work either.
Yeah, we had the wrong guys, but it ended up being inaccurate because Bryant and Jason Webster are no longer here.
Right.
Yep.
PFW, right again.
I thought Bryant would be here, but, you know, obviously.
Yeah. We all did. I thought he would be, you know.
I'm just surprised that their second-round pick didn't really play at all in week one and was inactive in week two.
Brandon Merriweather didn't play for a long time last year.
You know,
but he was
first
active
round,
but
he was active.
No, I know, but it's a different team, a different situation, and he's a lower pick by a round. And remember, he went from guys like Fred Smirla saying he should have been cut in training camp to being a regular defensive contributor late in the year. So let's not just write Terrence Wheatley off after.
No, we're not writing him off. We expected him to be more of a contributor.
It's a tough
early
defense.
On.
It's hard to learn on the fly.
He was one of
Delta O'Neal.
He was one of the guys we were predicting was going to potentially start from the get go.
You were wrong.
Well, that's before they picked up Delta O'Neal. I mean, I don't know. I mean, things changed since training camp when we first started looking at it.
Yeah.
The return of Lewis Sanders. Go ahead.
Sorry. What did you think of Delta O'Neal this game? I thought the first game, a lot of fans overrated his performance a little bit, but I thought he looked pretty decent.
Well, he's going against a subpar quarterback, but you know, so it's hard to judge.
What was
he's no castle,
John? What did you think was overrated in the first game? Just out of curiosity.
I felt especially the play at the end. I didn't think that he was in great position right when the pass was thrown, and I thought people were like, "Oh, he had him blanketed."
I think he did have actually good position. He was in front of the guy. I think it was a bad pass, and I think there could have been a flag if the ball had been more on target.
Well, I love the no call. I think it's to me that's a play on, especially on the last play of the game like that. I love the no-fly, but you know I hate 90% of the pass interference calls, Fred. That said, he grabbed his arm before the ball got there.
Right.
I mean, he did.
Yeah.
I love the no-call.
Do you guys see the Colts game at the end? Not the end, but like when the Colts started to come back, two consecutive non-calls on blatant pass interference. And I'm not just trying to be like a Patriot fan.
Against Minnesota?
It was horrible.
Well, there was a bad day for refs on Sunday, from what I understand. Ed Hockley getting a lot of heat.
I was going to ask Bill that today, but I didn't know. Did anybody ask him anything about that on Monday or Tuesday?
No. You know he would. He wouldn't.
Well, I was wondering what I was going to ask him, not about that specific play, but if a ref ever came over and just blatantly said, hey, Bill, I missed that one.
Right.
And what his reaction was.
Right.
I bet Bill would be less of a tool about it than, I mean,
You know what, John? I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. That was uncalled for, I thought, what Norv Turner did after that. The guy admitted he made a mistake. What are you going to do? You want to nail him to the cross?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, getting up in front of a microphone isn't going to change anything in saying that. You know, it's like he was crying, you know.
Do you think he should have acknowledged that the ref came and apologized to him?
Isn't the way to go there just saying, listen, Ed came over to the sideline. He told me he missed it. We have to move on from there. We had two opportunities to make a play, and we didn't. Now you look like the guy that's magnanimous. And while at the same time getting the message out there that even the refs have acknowledged they just cost us a game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now
in that situation, Ed Hockley is being a man about it.
Exactly.
And Norv is being LaDainian about it.
Yeah, but then now Jerry Jones is out there with quotes saying Hockley is often criticized for his performance on the field.
And well, Jerry Jones is being Jerry Jones.
That's one thing that I find. Everybody is saying he's one of the most respected refs in the league. Based on what? Where are your rankings?
Right. Right.
I mean, unless you're getting some quotes from coaches like Bill and other guys that are saying that, the only reason why he's the most respected
is he's the most known.
Yeah.
That's it. You know? He's the most known. But it was interesting, you know, that Jerry Jones would say that. You know, usually you don't hear owners talking about
that.
Yeah,
that was uncalled for, too.
Breaking news that just came in. Thanks for the call, John, in L.A.
Thanks, John.
The Patriots have re-signed tight end Tyson DeVrie to the practice squad. So.
I saw him today.
That's huge news.
Don't they need to drop somebody?
We must have had a spot.
And there's
is there anybody
there
that got released from the practice
let's
squad?
Let's see. No. Nothing.
Now they're just openly cheating and carrying nine members.
I was just reading
that. We re-signed Dillard and let Malone go. Oh, right. I suppose we had a spot because Gutierrez got promoted from the practice squad, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So
correct.
We did have a spot there.
All right. So that's that. Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the revelation that Tom Brady is around in meetings and kind of acting as a mentor a little bit for Castle. I thought that him being on IR, he'd be gone. I thought that, you know, Belichick would say, you know what, I don't want to remind these guys of you not being here every day. But I underestimated maybe what Belichick thinks that Brady can do for this team even when he's not playing. So maybe, you know, I was wrong there. And, you know, maybe he can be, a positive influence on the team even though he's not playing and not a constant reminder of, we lost the best quarterback on earth.
What about Sundays? Do you see him on the sideline?
No, I don't think
Sundays?
He'll be there on the sideline. But I think by that time you don't need him, really. It's during the week.
Hey, he's in the barn.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Fred. I thought he would continue to be a factor in Matt Castle, but I thought it would be very much behind a curtain, closed
texting.
Doors. Yeah, yeah, texting, like talking on the phone,
right.
Maybe meeting at one of their houses to go over something.
Yeah.
I thought on a team level he would be removed, and clearly if he's in quarterback meetings, he's bumping into guys in the hallway. He's a visual presence in the facility.
The only thing I don't, and I agree with all of what you guys have said, but he hasn't had the surgery yet. And when he does, you know, how that affects his, and I saw Bill was quoted about that.
Schedule.
How his rehab goes, that'll be the first and foremost thing for Tom Brady to worry about is getting himself prepared to come back. And I don't know if he'll necessarily be around the facility in quarterback meetings, you know, coming up post-surgery or how quickly he'll be able to do that.
Freddie, do we know, is he going to, I mean, is Dr. Gill doing the surgery?
I have no idea.
How does that stuff work?
They get an opinion from their team doctor, then they have James Anderson do the surgery.
Andrews. You can't even get that right.
Whoever that guy is.
But that's, I was kind of wondering, I mean.
Atlanta?
I don't know.
Alabama.
Necessarily if Dr. James Andrews is the best knee guy in the world, or
he just seems to be the go-to guy, but there might be a better knee guy. I don't know if maybe Dr. Gill is the best guy
I'm
in the
only,
world.
I'm only kidding around. I don't know where they would.
And how much say does Tom have in that? You know, the whole Curt Schilling thing where he didn't want to have surgery. He had to do contractually what the team decided.
Well, I think it's Will McDonough's decision.
He's actually doing the surgery?
Right.
Tom, don't worry. I took sewing class.
Apparently, you just can't bring up. I was kind of asking a serious question.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Like, will he be doing rehab here? Will he do rehab on the West Coast? Is there a better place? Will he go to Athletes Performance Inc. and do rehab? I mean,
I don't know. For all I know, it's Victoria's Secret.
I ask serious questions. Fred comes back with jokes.
I just don't know. We don't know.
We'll
never find out.
It's the first time in about 2.5 years he actually got serious.
I thought you might know. You have sources that are pretty high up.
He wants to know the fun fact.
Yeah.
It's just a fun fact.
Fun fact. Dr. James Anderson.
All right, before we go to break, though, I got an email from Jordan. Paul, what happened at the press conference
today? Just a fun fact.
Did you have some bad question?
No.
He says, good question. This is to Paul. Good question this morning at the press conference, moron. You make PFW proud. Keep your mouth shut.
You have to give me more information.
I don't know. That's Jordan. You're going to have to tell us what's on your mind.
I got a terrific answer from Bill on my Adalys Thomas question.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Going back to the 40s.
And I even got a Paul. Did you get that, by the way?
Yeah. You got a Paul?
You got a Paul.
Oh, that's good.
An audible Paul.
That's a good Paul. When you get your
name. Not in under his breath.
I was going to say, like.
When he says your name, when Belichick says your name.
Signed,
that's
like
a good
mentally
thing.
Paul.
That's a good thing. All right, it
unless
is 12:33.
Andy,
we have to take a break. We'll get to your emails when we come back.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a 4-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan.
And former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those old diehard fans who remembers our playing days, like the 1985 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriot Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
And Andre Tippett, one of my linebacking brothers. He'll be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that's pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yeah, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Tugender. Tugender.
February 3rd, 2008. Alicia Keys. Wow, that woman is gorgeous in person, even through my binoculars. She just did a rockin' live version of her number one hit, No One. Great stuff.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right. Welcome back to PFW Pride. We have so much stuff on Patriots.com, and it's hard to find everything. So what we did...
I don't think that's an ad for the website.
No, it's just... It's
one of the best webmasters in the league.
No, it's just...
It's seamless.
Somewhere. It's not Chris.
He's not the best director. It's just a massive...
We have so much stuff, it's actually awkward to use.
There's a massive amount of content that gets put up every day. So people who are using Patriots.com may have noticed recently that the first time you come on in the morning, this window opens up that tells you all the content that's going to be added that day. And I think that's very helpful. Gotten some good comments on that.
Okay.
Because in the we just throw up all these audio and video, and unless you're on the site constantly all day, you don't know that it's been added. So this kind of gives you a little preview of all the things that are going to be added throughout the day and what time.
I'm having problems at home, Fred, with the website.
At home.
Yeah,
with the website.
Glad you clarified that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You got to download and press Shift F5 twice.
Do you have to download twice. Anything? You never go to the website at home.
Or here.
you hear about the guy who took Viagra and Flomax? He didn't know whether he was coming or going.
Where did that come from?
I just made it up.
No, you didn't.
I did, too.
You stole that from some comedian like
I
steal all your jokes.
I did not steal it, you son of a...
Ooh. Oh, finish the thought, Fred. Finish the thought.
And I'm going to say it. Bitch.
Bitch is a word you won't use.
I can use that?
You use everything else.
I asked him to give us a list of really words we can't say. Don't you think that would be good? We'll put it right here next to hoax.
No, because it'll be too much of a temptation.
What happened to pickler?
We can use that word.
Pickler?
What happened to pickler?
Oh, they took the picture of Cindy Pickler down.
Cindy Pickler. No, they're down below, right?
Kelly.
She went down.
All right, back here at PFW Progress, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number in case you want to call. Let's see. Chris TIAN says that Parenti sucked yesterday. That's all he has to say. Joel says, I'd like to say great show yesterday, but I'd be lying out of my ass. Fred, please don't ever give the host chair to Parenti again. Not that I don't like Mike's rants, but he just seems to ramble on with no specific direction, occasionally interrupted by Andy laughing at one of his own jokes. That's kind of all of us, though. Next, get rid of the two-gender blog readings. They are more painful than a rusty enema. Also, I caught Andy and Paul on Neckin last night. Nice job, guys, but as usual, Paul looks like a deer in the headlights. Really?
I got a little story, quick, Paul. I couldn't sleep.
I had to work on my on-camera stuff.
I couldn't sleep last night, so I went downstairs to watch TV.
The show?
No, I turned the TV on and I record the show for my mom to watch, and so it goes automatically to the last channel you recorded. So at 3:47 p.m., I see you and me having a point counterpoint live to tape.
Wow, that's good. He goes on to say, I don't know what it is with Paul, because he comes across well on radio. Now, what happened to the last 14 minutes of yesterday's show? It ends at the 106-minute mark with Parenti saying something about strippers. Okay, now to the thoughts of
the game.
So
the beginning of the show was screwed up and the end?
I guess the end got cut off somehow.
I can't work with these monkeys behind the glass.
I don't know.
Deer in the headlights look, huh?
I'm
a little concerned about this.
Now, Joel has some comments about the game. He says, I think the real Ellis Hobbs finally showed up last week, and I hope he hangs around for a while. I have to agree.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. 2 weeks, wipe out 3-plus years?
Yes. I have to agree with Andy. I think that Lamont Jordan could become our number one back. I think Maroney needs to be used more like Kevin Falk, little screens and dump-offs out of the backfield to get him in the open. That is where he is most effective. Considering that the Colts have no O-line and no Bob Sanders, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. Is he really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the
high ankle sprain. That's
the funny part is,
one.
Did you hear the other thing? While he's out with the ankle sprain, they're going to have some knee surgery.
While they're there.
And that the Chargers are 0-2. I am really liking our chances to make the playoffs. Denver's offense looks good, but they have no defense. And as for Pittsburgh, well, I'm just waiting for Worthless Burger to revert to form.
What's
I don't know
form?
What form
his
that
career
is.
Record of like 52-2.
Look,
if his form is like 110 passer rating with 70% completion percentage, then
I hate the Steelers as much as the next New England fan. But I got to admit, Roethlisberger is probably the perfect quarterback for that team.
He's, I mean, but can you just say that he's a pretty good quarterback?
Yeah.
Good. No matter where he would
be? I mean, I don't know how good he would be if you asked him to throw 40 times a game, but I mean, they don't need
to. I go
to
back to that playoff game against Jacksonville last year when they were down, whatever, like 20 points and everything looked terrible. And now, admittedly, he was part of the reason they were down because he was bad early in the game, but the second half, he just strapped the offense on his back and brought them back. They took the lead, and Garrard ended up winning the game at the end.
I think
but
he could.
I think he
play
could do
in
it in
system.
Any system.
Yeah, I mean, he did that in college, Fred. He was a shotgun, sling it around quarterback.
He's a good quarterback, and he's strong. He's
the
hard
only
to bring
I'll
down.
Say on the negative side is he always seems to be banged up.
Yeah,
you know he's like the Steve McNair of 5 years ago. You know he's always now he's got a separated shoulder. He can play. There's no question he can.
He's
play.
Lucky he's playing at all.
But I think part of that is the way
after
he
that
plays.
Motorcycle accident.
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean,
he holds on to the ball. I mean, that's kind of part of how he plays. And sometimes it ends up with a nice big play down the field. Sometimes he ends up getting squished like Bug.
Yeah, I'm wondering if maybe there is a little bit of a change. You know, changing of the guard a little bit in the AFC with the Chargers. Now I'm still not sold that the Chargers are done. I mean, they very easily could be 2-0, but the Chargers and the Colts. Kind of struggling a little bit, but Denver, Buffalo, two teams that we really didn't expect anything out of a 2-0.
Except me,
that's true. No, you're right. I'll give you credit for that. You thought Buffalo was good,
but I'm going to go further than that. I think there's a changing of guard as far as the AFC NFC. I think it's come back to even.
Well, I'm going to keep an eye on that for one more week. I might address that in my commentary next week.
All right. Brett in Illinois says, looks like the Pats will be okay with Castle at the helm. Seems like the dink and dunk will be back and that Castle will be asked not to lose the game. In the long run, after some weeks, maybe they will open things up and let Castle win rather than not lose. So Eric is back. He actually worked well with Rook. Sounded like he actually knew something, and Rook did not like any of the gay references, so Eric did not cry about it. Eric, I noticed that you have a blog. I did not click on it because I was afraid that there might be some Chris Cooley-type pictures there. You struggling artists will do anything.
I don't have the hair that Chris Cooley does.
I do have another question. I'm sure Eric checked out the Cooley pictures with his playbook exposed. What do you think should happen if something like that happened here in New England? What is that all about? He took pictures of himself nude?
Well, he took a picture of his playbook in his lap, and he was nude at the time.
Why?
Because he's nuts.
He's Captain Chaos.
Captain Chaos. He's off.
He's off.
Good blog, though. Good blog.
He is off. He apologized for
that. Yeah, it was not our intention to have a penis on our site all day yesterday.
Oh, my God.
He's just one of those characters, you know.
Yes.
And he's
spirit.
I love him.
Yeah.
He's a good blogger. He's got a post-football career in some form of entertainment. But the bigger issue there, from a coach's perspective, as Jim Zorn said, is our playbook shouldn't be online. You shouldn't be taking photos of our playbook.
No. Especially with the blitz showing.
Now, speaking of Washington, though, what's
the Redskins?
The Redskins, big comeback win. Yeah, that was I was impressed.
Yeah,
so they definitely won't finish 0-16.
That one pass that Jason Campbell had downfield—that was a nice laser.
Good looking ball downfield.
Good looking ball.
Don Kroenke would say,
"Yeah,
he can't throw."
So we'll see what happens with that. That NFC East is a tough division. That Monday night game was a great game. I was pissed that the Eagles lost.
Well, how about your guy, DeSean Jackson? Which one of you guys likes him a lot?
It's
his
guy. It's my guy.
Well, if Westbrook had
a big rookie mistake.
Another 100-yard game.
I mean, if
second ever.
McNabb hadn't screwed up that handoff to Westbrook twice, that would have been a different game.
I think the Eagles would have won the game. Yeah. That last fumble, I think, cost them.
And they
game.
Keep showing Jerry Jones down the sideline. God. Oh, he just bothers me. You know?
Why does he bother you, Fred?
Oh, it's like he's just annoying. It's like. Just go and watch the game.
I will say that, and I heard that the Big Show guys were talking about this a little bit yesterday afternoon. For the amount that they've actually accomplished, they do talk an awful lot.
Yeah.
I think that's accurate. I couldn't understand where Glenn was trying to defend that. You know, all Pete was saying was, I don't think they're bad players. I think Tony Romo's a pretty good player. I think I'm impressed with him. But they have an awful lot to say for a team that hasn't won anything. And
literally.
I think that's accurate. It's not just T.O.
No, it's
that
all.
That team in general has an awful lot
It's all reputation right now at this point.
Speaking of Romo, did you guys hear
that was a Romo.
Oh, see now.
Sorry.
I mean, come on. And I got an email about that stuff. That has to stop.
What did I do?
You know what you did.
You know.
I didn't think I did it much yesterday.
I think you know what you did.
I heard somewhere that during the offseason, Romo did extensive study of Tom Brady and his mechanics and his form in the pocket. And I took a little note of that watching the game on Monday night, and he did kind of look a lot more like Tom Brady. He was standing taller in the pocket, stepping up.
He looked good.
He looked.
I think he's excellent. I think he's an excellent player. But
you guys hadn't heard that though about him studying Brady.
No, I hadn't heard that at all.
I tried to look for that, and maybe psychologically I was thinking of it, but he actually did look a lot more like Brady in the pocket than last year, where he used to.
I mean, they talked about the fast, slow, fast thing, where you try to get back in your stance fast, slow it down when you're trying to read what's going on, and then fast when you make your decision to release the ball. He's trying to work into that rhythm. But I think he's amazingly accurate. He's got a good arm. He looks like he's smart. He's got mobility. I mean, he's I definitely call him a top five quarterback in the league right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
top three, I'd say probably.
Jaworski talked about Philadelphia in particular making him work fast. They make him play fast, and that kind of bothered him a little bit last year. Now, the play in the end zone was, I thought, an example of that, where they kind of flustered him a little bit when he fumbled the ball in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
His production, he's pretty good.
He is pretty good.
He's pretty good. You got to hand it to him. I thought he even played well against the Patriots last year in that game for the most part.
He did. And that Marion Barber, I mean, that's who you want Maroney to be. I mean, that guy is he's a beast. He really – you don't like him, Paul.
I like him a lot. Yeah. No, I'm totally in agreement with you.
Yeah.
But
they're different backs.
I was going to say they're a lot – I don't think he and Maroney are the same.
But
he's a power guy. Maroney's more of a finesse guy.
But, you know, he's not bigger. He's not that much bigger than Maroney.
But he runs a lot differently.
He runs different. He runs harder.
Is he bigger than Maroney?
I don't think
so. He doesn't
so.
Look that
– I don't
he doesn't
think he
look
is,
like
as a matter of fact.
I'll go to the videotape while you guys are talking.
Okay.
You confused Fred with that one.
I didn't know where the tape was. he's going to the media guy. Kieran,
he didn't literally mean tape.
Kieran in Ireland says, "Hey, guys, and Eric, I'd just like to apologize to Paul for any hurt I may have caused him yesterday. However, I do have some advice. Get rid of those shirts, as they do not flatter you, to say the least. I think more suitable attire should be worn, such as a muumuu." Oh, you know, now, that's just not right.
Wait, is he the one who's the poor thing yesterday? Looked like you were poured into your shirts and someone forgot to say when?
I would assume.
What
based
shirts
on
is
that
he talking
comment.
About? What shirts do you not look
the way
good
I look
in?
At it is, Andy, for the last 9 years, every single day to work, I wear a polo shirt. They're all the same size. Does this look like I was poured into this shirt?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm overweight. Let's call it what it is. I
have
a little
bit of a weight problem.
I have a weight problem. Marion Barber is 6 feet, 225.
All right, so he is bigger than Maroney.
How big is Maroney?
Maroney's 5'10", 2-something.
I would like to be able to tell you, but we don't have a Patriots
meeting. Maroney's got to be 5'11".
Oh, actually, I have it right here. Hold on.
Okay.
Because I thought Maroney was 225, too, for some reason.
I think that's probably pretty close.
Yeah, so they're about the same weight.
They list them as 5'11", 220.
So they're the same
size. They're about the same size.
Yeah. But Barber does run a lot harder and tougher. I think he makes better. Well, they both have a pretty good stiff arm, but I think Barber is a little bit more vicious with it.
There's no more. He's way more vicious.
Yeah.
He rarely lets a guy just hit him and take him down. He delivers.
And that Witten, I mean, he's a hell of a tight end, you know.
Pretty good now.
He got banged up, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, they got Roy Williams broke his arm. Witten got banged
up.
That's
addition by
subtraction.
Right, right.
They expect him back, or is he out?
Who?
Roy Williams.
Oh, he'll be back. 3 weeks.
Well, his teammate did it to him, from what I understand.
With a lead pipe.
Yeah, he could be. I guess they said he could be out up to 4 weeks.
So it's not that bad.
Yeah. Matt Norrigan's on the phone. Matt, how you doing?
How's it going, guys? Hey,
good.
I'm 6'2", 225. Think I could fill in a Maroney spot?
Sure.
Sure.
You can get tackled in the backfield.
What do you run a 40 in?
Sure you could dance.
what's your 40 time?
About 7.5, maybe 7.3 on a good day.
Yeah. Unless you're chasing a moose, right? Then.
Right. Hey, speaking of that, my trip was canceled. My caribou trip.
Oh, that sucks. How come?
So I can't bring you guys caribou burgers.
I was looking forward to
there's
those.
There's no animals. The animals migrated differently this year.
Really?
Yeah.
So why don't you go where they went?
They migrated away from the guns.
You know, I had an RSS feed that updates me on that, where the caribou were going to be, and I knew about that.
Well, you should have let us know.
But, what's up, Matt?
Hey, is Parenti there?
No, he's not here. He's going to be at practice today.
Damn,
so
all right.
He'll be here later.
I had a comment for the two fan haters, Parenti and Paul.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Paul, one of them's here.
Taking out on Paul.
Well, listen, you know, I'm a little bit behind in the podcast, so, you know, I'm just kind of catching up on what you guys were talking about last week. And these guys were really coming down on the fans for basically their support of Castle when, you know, fans had really not been so.
Well, that's what
Castle
they do. They don't think fans should actually root for their
Freddie
team. I don't know why, how that works.
Let the man speak.
Freddie, can I just interrupt you?
Okay, go ahead.
Did I come down on the fans last week for being a positive about Castle?
No, you were very silent last week.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, well, your silence spoke volumes.
No.
Thank you,
Matt.
Well, thank
well
you, Matt.
Said,
no,
Matt.
No,
well
no,
said.
Very
no,
good.
It doesn't.
Very good.
Well, it shouldn't.
But the point I wanted to make was...
That's a lot of insecurity on the fans' part, then.
Oh, there you go again, Paul. you just can't help
kind
yourself.
Kind of a broad comparison, but I want to relate, and no, don't read too much into this, but when 9/11 happened, there were people who, the day before, would have... you know, fist fought in the street, you know, over parking spaces or whatever else. And then 9/11 happened and everybody rallied together. Remember all the United We Stand
sure.
and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff?
That lasted about 2 weeks, but go
well,
ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, that mentality was there. And it's kind of the same thing with Brady. Brady went down and we had to rally around
yes.
the guy. What other choice did we have?
We had a common enemy, and that was everyone else.
But exactly. Using your scenario, are you foreshadowing a potential lull here in a couple weeks? That they rally for a couple weeks? And
I think there is definitely the risk if his performance doesn't, you know, continue to, you know, if he doesn't continue to come along, then I think there's definitely that possibility.
Now, you're not saying Bernard Pollard works for Al-Qaeda, are you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely
all right,
not.
All right.
What did you think of Castle on Sunday against the Jets?
I thought he did great. You know, he did exactly what he needed to do. You know, he's not going to be Tom Brady, but he kept the ship afloat and he did what needed to be done, and most importantly, like you guys said yesterday, he didn't make any big mistakes.
Yeah.
There were no.
He didn't, and
I mean, how can you not be nervous in that position? And I think he just handled himself so well.
Yeah, he may have been, but he didn't really show it
exactly.
out in the field.
I know.
The other thing was I didn't. You know, Bill said it last week too that they're not going to change the playbook based on who's at quarterback. And, you know, whether or not that's true, it
but they might change the play calling.
They might change the play calling depending on who they're playing. And it didn't seem to me, I was trying to envision if Brady were in that game, would they have been running the same types of plays? And I didn't think there was – the only thing I thought was that maybe they didn't throw the ball deep as much as they would.
But you have to think that Brady would do different things. You know, he might recognize things that Castle didn't recognize, an audible at the line or whatever, check with me.
Right, but the plays themselves were the same.
The plays calling it from the sideline might be the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. The ball gets thrown more often, number one, with Brady, and downfield more with Brady. This, I don't really think you can dispute that. I mean,
that bomb to Moss may not have been underthrown.
Look at the 7 minutes that Brady played. He threw as many passes in that 7 minutes almost as Castle ended up throwing in the three and a half.
I understand that, but that might also been a script type thing.
Right,
they're
playing
gonna,
the Chiefs.
We're
going
to
pass
it for, and then but, even if Brady stayed in, they might have gone to run later on. I don't know.
Well, I don't think they would have. Just judging on the last 16 games, that's all.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I agree. I had one more thing.
What do you got?
And this is, again, for Mike and Paul. My two favorite PFW guys.
Oh, Matt. I thought we had a bonding moment when you came.
I like it.
Said
keep
he sarcastically.
We did. No, absolutely we did. We did.
The only thing that bonded was your dentures, Paul.
There's nothing wrong with my false tooth, Freddie.
Do you really have one?
Yeah, right here.
I didn't know that. See, I didn't
it's
know
not that. A denture.
How did that happen?
Some Patriots fan knocked him out.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, Matt.
For not standing up, right?
It's just a fun fact.
Well, listen, last week, this is totally, you know, a tangent, but last week someone mentioned MMA, and Paul and Mike went on a rant for about 5 minutes about how MMA is skillless,
right.
And,
that was,
you know, these guys are just dumb bruisers and all this stuff. And
that was Mike, though, Mike Parenti. Yeah.
I called it a fad, and I still think it's a fad, but Mike was the one talking about skillless and all that crap.
All right. Well, regardless, that was a very ignorant comment, and I wanted to call you.
Wow.
Should have waited until after 1 o'clock.
I've done boxing and MMA both, and the skill level in MMA is way higher. Now, if you...
Really?
I can never argue with somebody over their opinion. If you prefer boxing to MMA, that's a whole different thing. But the skill level, I mean, these guys have their hands, elbows, knees, feet, shins, their hips, all every part of their body is a weapon. In boxing, you got your two hands.
I know, but you know
I
what?
I need to watch more of that then, because no. All I see is guys rolling around on the ground when I watch.
Well, and see, to the untrained eye, that rolling around on the ground looks just like rolling around on the ground. But what you don't realize is those guys are literally using every part of their body to try to attain.
But why does that make that more skillful?
Experience, dude.
Well,
because they're using more parts of their body.
There isn't any of that. It's just striking.
Well, I know, but in boxing, you're not allowed to do that. I mean, the thing I don't like about MMA is it's mixed martial arts. When I think of mixed martial arts, I think of more, you know, finesse and angling and leverage.
Karate,
and
taekwondo.
Yeah, things
that
like that.
There.
And but is that? I just see a lot of, like, wild kicking and elbowing.
It looks like a street fight.
Well, yeah,
it looks like a street fight where there are no rules.
And I think the biggest trouble that MMA has is that it's bloody. So people see the blood and they just assume that it's mindless violence. But, the best MMA fighters are so...
I know, but...
intelligent and skillful. It's unbelievable.
But, Matt, I assume that you've taken martial arts classes.
Yeah.
And one of the things they teach you in martial arts is that, you know, you're not learning this stuff to go beat people up. It's more...
it's self-defense.
It's self-defense, but more of it's like mind-body type stuff. And so, really, MMA is counter to the teachings of martial arts.
Well, that you know, there is that whole aspect of, you know, when you turn a martial art into a competition, then you lose some of that stuff.
Because you're going on the offense, not the defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So anyway.
As far as the mind-body and the skill level, and you know, that stuff is there. I mean, you look at a guy like Anderson Silva. That guy has so many different things in play when he's fighting that it's just ridiculous, you know.
What in the hell is going on?
Anyway, total aside, I just wanted to call you guys.
All right, Matt.
All right, see you, Matt. I would listen in later because we'll fill Mike in, and I bet
he'll go on a rant.
Have a solid rant about
it. Right. Oh God, yeah.
Okay, that's Matt from Oregon.
Might still be ignorant, but
Matt's a big hunter. He's he shoots guns. He's 6'2", 225, and he has martial arts skills. So we want to stay away from Matt.
No, Matt was a nice guy.
Well, I know, but
he came and visited
you don't
us.
Want to get on his bad side.
No, I'm not sure he has a bad side. Isn't he also an elementary school teacher?
He's a very nice guy.
Well, he was.
He was.
His students don't get on his bad side.
He's actually one of our more normal listeners, you know?
All the ones that have come to visit us,
they're all
except
normal
for maybe friend. One.
Aside from you know, cooking moose out in the parking lot, he's pretty normal.
He's very normal. Yeah. All our listeners are very normal. Well-educated, well-employed.
We have a very high demographic.
Yeah. Well, all our listeners that are still alive.
Just to be able to figure out where we are on the website, apparently, takes
income,
a high IQ.
High income demographic.
Another shot at the website.
You did a little Capella.
I said apparently.
You run the website.
All right. Let's see. More
so
emails.
When Mr. Kraft goes, Kirsch, tell me something good. You say, Mr. Kraft, things are as hard to find as ever on Patriots.com.
What you say?
Nothing.
All right. Let's see. More emails coming in.
I saw.
What's that?
Nothing.
No. Todd is done with Maroney. He think he sucks.
He
doesn't like Maroney.
That is going to be a popular belief in the coming weeks if Sunday was any indication.
Let's see. John in South Carolina. Now, I guess there was a problem with the lunch order yesterday.
Just mine.
Just yours. Well, you know.
I have a love-hate relationship
John,
with John.
Thank you very much.
I loved him when he set the whoopie pies. I hate him when he didn't send the sub.
Well, he says he has to admit it, but he skipped over the steak and cheese.
Thanks.
Don't take it out on Two Ginger. But then again, I did have to wait on the phone for 15 minutes while they found a local number to use on the order. So if Two Ginger had included a number to use, I am sure the order would have been perfect.
I'm sure too, John. I don't blame you as much as I blame Two Ginger.
But why would Two Ginger get your order right? You make fun of him all day. Why should he, like, look out after you?
Good point.
Yeah. He doesn't have to look out after me. That's his job. He is the food bitch of this show.
I'm not sure when they hired him, they said, Dan, one of the things you're going to be doing is getting food for these bunch of idiots that are on the radio.
Bunch of fat morons.
Yeah,
we've evolved.
Sorry, Eric. I know you're not fat.
I know, Gary, was that part of his resume that he had to do that, his job description?
No, but it has become part of it.
It's become part of it now.
What else does he do?
I don't know. Ask his boss.
Walks around with a recorder trying
to
secretly
finance.
Record people.
I have to ask finance.
I'll ask finance if I want that answer.
Let's see. Al.
Uh-oh. Gary's not happy.
He doesn't like it.
Gary doesn't like him when he's involved in the reindeer games.
Now,
no, yesterday Dan had too much on his plate to get the lunch order right now. What does he do?
Not only did he screw up the lunch order, he didn't have to show
John
up.
John just admitted that he screwed it up, not Dan.
Because Two Jenner didn't give him the number to call. Remember how you used to have it all perfect?
Yeah,
because
we never get Papagino's.
I thought that all that stuff was on PFWinProgress.com.
Besides the fact that why did it throw D'Angelo's all a flutter because gender. They didn't have a local phone number? You can't just take the order and deliver it the way the guy says to deliver it without a local phone number?
I think you have to call the local place, right?
Why didn't he give 508-543-7482?
They needed a number that we were getting it delivered to.
That should be the number.
Oh. Yeah,
yeah. 508-543-7482.
Yeah.
Memorize it. Live it. Learn it. Like it.
I don't understand that. All right.
You are just angry, big-headed man.
Gary, home game on Sunday against the Dolphins. Anything in store for the fans on the field? Why can't you ever answer that question? People want a little inside information. We have the director of...
We'll be soaking cork at halftime.
We have the director of on-field entertainment right here. This is a chance for fans to get a little...
And I'm the one that hates the fans, Freddie. Look at this.
Sunday in the Meadowlands, Gary, we were thinking of you because they had Lifehouse perform the national anthem and at halftime. You know, legitimate.
Ooh, Lifehouse.
No, but...
awful rendition of the national anthem, by the way, Gary.
God, the guy couldn't
even
speak English. Yeah.
We're the most critical people.
The home of the brow?
Wait a minute.
What?
Did you hear him?
I didn't listen.
The words were
I was
awful.
Actually on the phone when he started because they didn't tell us to stand up.
I know.
They
that
didn't
was
actually tell us that was starting.
We they had a helicopter fly over, Gary. It's a little change.
I thought that was the Channel 4 cool. News. That wasn't... Oh.
So we don't have any anthem this week? We're going to be like the Red Sox and not play an anthem?
It'll be on
have
record.
We ever not had an anthem?
It'll be a recording.
It's a recording? Is
it's
it
like
Eric?
It's like a Northeastern game.
Why can't you tell people what's going to go on?
He'll let you know when he finds out.
Is Al Grossenberg, or what was his name? Al Giroux?
Al Giroux.
Al Giroux.
Al Giroux.
Al Giroux would be the coach of Virginia.
Oh, and he stinks. They're terrible.
All right. Al Fecto writes in. Speaking
hey, Al.
Of Al's,
look
what
at
a
that
great
transition.
Win. Is this now something like 8 or 9 straight regular season wins against the Jets on the road?
Eight.
And 22 regular season wins in a row.
Eight.
Is that correct?
I thought it was 21.
21. Okay.
Like that movie.
Certainly there are going to have to be several things that will have to help Matt Castle succeed as a starter, assuming that happens. One of them will have to be our running game, and I really like the lineup of runners we have this year from top to bottom. Looks like the best collection of backs the Pats have ever had under Belichick. Dylan was a special runner, of course, but this group, as a group, is the best in a very long time around Foxborough. I think you'd have to go all the way back to 1978.
Andy Johnson.
When the Pats had no less than 5 runners, including the quarterback, gained more than 500 yards each over the course of that season. If we can keep them all healthy, we should keep more leads in the second halves of game. It's hard to ever say 3 points is ever a big deal, but those 3 points we got after that long drive following the TD by the Jets last week that got them within 6 was just plain huge. Yes, it was.
That was the drive of the game. Yeah, that was enormous. But I agree with Al. This is the deepest group of backs they've had since the late 70s.
I don't know if they have the guy to throw the ball, though. Didn't he throw for like 3 or 4?
Kevin Falk can throw it. They haven't used him in that regard in a while, but we know he can throw the football.
You know my favorite part of the Kevin Falk on one of his runs?
The fact that you were so dead wrong, it was night and day?
He looked like he was shot out of a cannon from 2000.
That was Eric and I's favorite part of Kevin Falk on Sunday.
Anyway.
We had a lot of diminishing skills.
When he was kind of like when I was going, when you asked me which receiver would be more affected by the change of quarterback, and you said, I really think it's going to be Welker, and it was Welker down the field. Anyway, Kevin Falk, when he broke free on one of those runs and the guy got in the picture, he's pumping, covers with one hand, gets by the guy, pumping, loved it. All those people that root for him to fumble.
Who roots for him?
People do. They rip him and they make fun of him as a fumbler.
Oh, Kevin
Falk.
He
hasn't fumbled that much.
Kevin Falk is one of the biggest playmakers this team has had for
10
years now.
Ever.
See that 180 he just did? See that 180?
Whoa. See, you guys mistake what I said. I think Kevin Falk has been a key playmaker throughout this era of success.
And you thought he was
done. And you thought he was done this year.
Diminishing, not done. Two different things. Did I say done?
Was there anything diminished about what you saw on Sunday?
No, I told you he looked like better than I've ever seen him.
So just say you're wrong and
I said it yesterday. Listen to the show.
You know what's going
to
happen now, though?
We can. We heard it was one of the worst ever.
It was
great. 5 or 6 weeks from now, you know, maybe he'll get banged up or something.
I'll go, I was right.
See?
I was right.
That's the beauty of me.
Speaking of yesterday's show.
I wouldn't say beauty, my friend.
Matt from Connecticut writes in, I started listening to the show for the first time this year, but I had to chime in after yesterday's show. It had to be the worst show I've ever heard when Mike and Andy are all buddy-buddy. It does not make for good radio. Fred, when you are not there, the show becomes mediocre at best.
But anyway, agree more with that.
I went to my first NFL game last Sunday, and I was very impressed with the front seven. Do you think they can keep this up the whole season?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. And they better.
The front seven's the strength of the team, so I would expect it to keep up.
Certainly the highest paid spot on the team.
No, they did well, and I guess
Warren and Seymour were out
Seymour
of their minds,
really had his way with the Brickashaw.
Good to see him get a sack too.
Yep. That's good stuff. Colin writes in from Connecticut, another Connecticut here. With the emergence of Adalius Thomas during the first 2 weeks in the season, including an unbelievable sack on Brett Favre and another Jet included, was his signing in 07 overshadowed with the Randy Moss trade? And how do you think he compares to Willie McGinnis either in his prime or toward the end of his Patriots tenure?
Way better toward the end.
I think really different players, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Willie McGinnis is really just an outside type linebacker.
Thomas is a better athlete.
Yeah, he's more versatile, I think.
And
McGinnis is stiffer.
Brett's got a call here.
Yeah, I know.
McGinnis
it's
always
an interesting comparison. I mean that I think you guys are right. I think that he might do a little bit. I think he might have more skills than McGinnis.
Yeah, Thomas.
But,
yeah,
but it's an interesting comparison.
Thomas always seemed to be. McGinnis always seemed to be banged up though, and Thomas seems to play every week, no matter what's wrong with him. He gets banged up a little bit.
He played through a lot of injuries last year.
Yeah.
Thomas.
And McGinnis was just the opposite. You're always thinking any little thing and he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks or whatever.
Not, you know, that happened. That was more early in
his
career.
I mean, he was durable. Right. Remember that Colts game where he came back from that debilitating injury to finish the game?
I don't know how he did it. They should have given him the Purple Heart for that. But under Belichick, he was pretty.
He had that once. He had, the Super Bowl season, he had a.
Well, it was more than. There was three of them.
I was going to say, you're going to have to clarify there.
Well, wasn't he out for large part of.
Since Belichick has been here, he did a great job of managing.
Yeah, he skipped training camp so he could play.
Yeah. And he played. Now, under Carroll, he was out of the lineup every other week.
All right. Let's see. It's 1:08. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan
and former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those old diehard fans who remembers our playing days, like the 1985 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriot Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
And Andre Tippett, one of my linebacking brothers. He'll be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that's pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yeah, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
We've heard about Eric's exploits on the football field, and he's heard about the upcoming game with the greats. But this is getting ridiculous, and he's dragging Kyle into his delusions of grandeur. Yes, Eric, we know it's not pronounced that way.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan.
And former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those diehard fans who remembers our playing days, like the 85 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriots Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
Andre Tippett, one of my linebacker brothers, will be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the game with the greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium, when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that was pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yep, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike? Sounds more like Beavis and Butthead. Now, back to the guys. And Eric.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. No Mike Perrini yet, huh?
Practice, Fred. Practice is at 1 o'clock.
It's at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. And is he scheduled to do the second half because he does the Rook Show today or something?
Correct.
I'm getting the nod of approval from Gary. No word in the anthem, but Mike Perrini.
Let's see.
Gary would like you to talk about the game with the greats. He just said it. Then he played a lead-in.
Talk about the game with the greats? That is a great thing to go to. It's during the San Francisco game when the Patriots on the West Coast. You come to Gillette Stadium, $40, get you in. You watch the game with guys like Andre Tippett, John Hanna, Ben Coates, Stanley Morgan, Steve Grogan, Steve Nelson. The list goes on and on. It's a great way to watch the game. Your ticket also includes entry into the Hall at Patriot Place. It's going to be a great day. For information, go to patriots.com/alumni.
And I believe tomorrow?
Yes.
Lori's coming down to give away a set of tickets on this show.
A set of tickets? Great.
That's tickets.
Tickets. Okay.
That's excellent. So
he was
Lori
just like, here, hold this. And I said, okay.
So Lori will be here tomorrow to give away a pair of tickets.
Or maybe later today. I don't know.
Okay.
Either today, you got to listen. You got to listen today and tomorrow. At some point, you could win tickets to Game with the Greats.
Fourth caller will be winning tickets. We should do something like
that. We should do. The 69th caller.
Right. Gary will be like picking up the phone all day.
Even Gary's laughing.
I used to do that when I filled in Providence. I think I was with Brian, and they were like, Andy, you get to do it today. What caller? And I would go like 37. Because, you know, they want to do like four right. So they can count and just finish it.
Got news for you. They don't
get that high.
They don't get that high. They picked.
Did.
No, they don't. They don't normally.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
I watched the guy. He went first, second, third, click, click. He went through it like four times.
Yeah, I know most of them don't do that.
Oh, lame stations you work at.
Just
wow, no comeback there. He just accepted it.
No, it wasn't in Maine. You worked in Providence
near the lighthouse. The lighthouse had a radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did, but that's not the one I worked for, Andy. But no, we used to just pick whichever girl sounded nice or
so
whatever.
Which lame station did you work for? Spill it.
You might not want to say that because that's so illegal.
Really? Oh.
Wow.
So what?
It was a long time ago. Water under the bridge.
Get them in trouble. It doesn't matter.
What station was it?
It's one of the ones in Providence.
Aren't there like 20?
Not
I know
anymore.
It's a small state and all, but they still have a few radio stations.
Not anymore.
93.3 Coast?
No.
Well, Light 105?
No.
PRO?
PRO is one of them. AM or PM? I mean,
AM.
WKRP. That's right.
They're all in one building right there on the Wampanoag Trail.
Pretty much.
Oh, good. So it's one of those.
All right. Web radio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7. So I'll try that again. 508-543-7482.
I don't like this show, Paul.
But back, though.
Let's see. Craig writes in. He says, this is my first time writing in a long time.
Craig?
Listener.
Craig. Is this Craig?
Craig. No, it's first time writing.
In a long time.
Long time listener.
Oh. Oh.
I want to know, I'm the only African-American listener on the show.
That's not true.
Oh.
No, we have others.
No, Lucky.
Lucky is one.
No, there's a second.
We have two. But
Salt.
Who is the girl that was on Patriots Today interviewing Ellis Hobbs? She's smoking, and she's giving Christina a run for her money.
What?
I don't know. Patriots Today? Quinn?
Oh, former cheerleader.
Oh, she's working for us now? I didn't know that. In what capacity?
I think she's doing some stuff on Patriots Today.
Oh, that's great. Quinn Buckner. She was. She used to be.
No.
What?
Quinn Buckner.
It's not
Quinn Gray.
It's not a former point guard.
I like her. Where's that poster?
Yeah, no. She's very attractive. Oh, that's good. That's good. She's doing work for us. I didn't know that.
So Bilo moving another step down the ladder. Soon he'll have lost that gig.
His harem.
He's stuck with me with the deer in the headlights look on the side.
This is Bilo's harem. He's getting a little entourage.
He's
going.
Getting a little nothing.
Speaking of Entourage, Freddie, you watch Entourage?
I don't watch that show. Everyone says I should.
Gee.
I've never watched it.
I get rid of HBO.
Oh, for God.
You got rid of HBO?
Had to cut back?
Things are happening, huh? The Republicans
Fred.
In power aren't really doing it for you?
Fred, just stop.
Fred,
you know you're not going to do it. You're
McCain
not voting
in 08.
For Obama.
I am voting for Obama.
No, you won't.
Yes, I am.
Say that you will, but you won't.
And you'll say you did, but you didn't.
If you want, I'll bring you in the voting booth with me.
I think that's illegal.
That's kind of illegal, too. Yeah.
A lot of illegal stuff going on here today at PFW in Progress.
Don't worry, Fred. I'll let you watch the first season of Entourage on DVD when I get it for Christmas.
Okay.
I don't know why you think you're getting it.
From the portly man to his left.
Anyway, Craig
really
says...
Bad self-esteem today.
Keep up the great work, and my favorite is Eric. No, I'm not gay, but he needs to support. He needs a lot of support.
He does.
This is Craig from Florida. He was raised in Brooklyn and Boston.
Good man.
So...
This is the black guy?
Right.
Yeah, he says he's our only African-American listener.
We need
which
more.
Which is not true.
Yeah, that is not true.
We don't know who. We have tens of, literally, I'm not kidding. We have tens of thousands of listeners, and we only hear from like a handful.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it
that's
is
the
with
way
sports
it is with,
radio.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it is with
that's why you hear the same clowns on EEI all the
time.
But
we have a very...
Well, ours aren't clowns, though.
No, we have...
No, ours are well-informed, I told you, a high-income demographic that we...
Right.
We
yeah, whatever happened to the rocket scientist who was going to bring me a rocket?
Delaware guy.
Oh, the
right?
NASA guy?
Dan in Delaware.
I never got my rocket. He said he was coming to camp and going to bring me a rocket. Ping!
I was thinking it, but I said, if I say it, it's only going to encourage it, so I didn't.
Bob is from Montreal. He says, I guess the question that remains in the minds of the Pats faithful is how can we compete with the likes of the higher scoring teams in the NFL? Do we expect our defense to hold these high power teams down, or are we expecting our offense to improve from what we now see?
Both.
A little bit of both, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And as of right now, who are the high scoring teams? Arizona?
I would say Dallas.
Oh, Dallas, but
you won't have to
if
face
they get
them
to Dallas,
Denver.
I'll worry about that game.
Denver.
Well, I'll tell you something, you know, it's you always run into trouble when you say, well, this team beat that team, so that team must not. But if the Patriots have a little bit of a struggle with Miami this Sunday, I think to me that tells me that the Cardinals might be for real this year.
I understand what you're saying. I do think the Cardinals have some legitimacy this year. I think they have improved, and I think they have a good coach.
But I think with Kurt Warner, he's the kind of guy, he always puts up these big numbers, but – you know, his interception ratio was always up there, too.
And even if you watch some of the touchdowns he threw this week, they could have been picked.
Yeah, and that hurts you when you play good teams. You know, he always puts up big numbers against poor teams. But, you know, when you play good teams, you can't have your quarterback doing that.
While we're on the topic of who's good and who's not, are you worried at all that these are soft victories?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
The Chiefs stink and the Dolphins stink
stink? That's exactly my point.
Because I left Sunday's game thinking the Jets are not going to be as good
that.
As I thought.
You never know
they
in the beginning of the season what the victories mean. And we had a huge argument about this, Paul, years ago when we were on that
I'm
other
sure it was
radio.
You and I on opposite sides?
No, it was me, you, and Brian Morey.
Oh, wow,
and
that
remember
that
when we used
it.
To do the show on Mondays from the club?
Yes.
before Eddie Andelman's show. Yeah, and we got into a huge argument. And I said, you don't know what these victories mean in the beginning of the season because you don't really know what the teams are until the end. And then you can evaluate, you know, the whole season.
Well, but when,
Hawaii and my best pal.
Would you feel more comfortable with Matt Cassel going up against the Colts in Week 9 or Week 3?
Well, judging on the way the Colts are playing right now, right, I'd like to play them now.
Well, going into the season.
If the Colts were 100%, I'd rather have Cassel have 5 or 6 starts under his belt.
Right. Yeah. So my point is it's advantageous. The schedule is advantageous for Cassel at this point, having to go against teams that he might not necessarily have to shoulder a lot of the burden at
Absolutely.
This point.
The Fred and I remember when we talked about that, Fred, and I, for the most part, I agree with you on this topic, but there's one thing. I feel like if you have a team, say you beat somebody that's, I don't know, let's say we play Buffalo in 3 weeks and Buffalo is 5-1 or something, and the Patriots beat Buffalo, and then Buffalo ends up going 6-10 or whatever. To me, that's still a good win. Even though you didn't.
Because at the time, there
were good
teams.
Your theory would be that you don't know what Buffalo is. They might have just skated by some bad teams.
I think
to me, that's a team that was playing well when you played them.
Okay.
And I don't know why the reason is that they ended up losing 8 of their last 9 or something. They might have gotten hit with injuries at key spots.
Yeah, but they're playing.
Season unraveled.
But they're playing well. But I think you have to. They're playing well right now, but then you have to consider who they're beating and what happened.
You absolutely have to factor all that. That's why I said, for the most part, I agree with you.
So do you do it the other way?
What do you mean?
Like, if they go out. And
if they lose to a team that's 2-3, but maybe
And then they lose to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins go 14-2.
If you lost to the Eagles,
is that an okay loss?
The Eagles could very well go to and lose to Pittsburgh this week and be 1-2. And then let's say you play them in Week 4 and you lose to them. Well, they weren't that bad. I mean, they were nose to nose with Dallas, and they lost to Pittsburgh. Who knows?
Like last year, the Chargers started off very slow, and New England beat them. In Week 2, I think it was last year, and then like around Week 4 or 5, people were saying, "Well, they beat the Chargers, but the Chargers at the time weren't doing well."
And
they ended up.
You saw the difference in that early season and the late season. How much tougher the second game was than the first game.
Right.
Okay.
Mike's here.
Mike is back from practice and doing the web update. What's going on?
Well, I guess the only thing people really want to know is who's not out there today. And we did not see Lawrence Maroney, who left the Jet game and then returned later after suffering a shoulder injury. We also did not see Lamont Jordan, which was a surprising absence. No Eric Alexander and no Kelly Washington. A couple of guys in black jerseys for practice player of the week.
Russ Hochstein.
Gary Guyton. Can I finish?
Hi there.
You want to read the list yourself or should I read it myself?
Can I finish?
Dr. Negativity.
Good.
Gary Guyton, Mike Richardson, also Matt Gutierrez. So I can assume that Matt Gutierrez probably played a pretty good role emulating Brett Favre last week in practice. Russ Hochstein was mirroring Alan Faneca. Yep. You kind of assume that guys get those distinctions based on their scout team work. So those were the only four I saw. I'm sure there's always more.
What about
a lot
Watson?
Of times there's
was
more
he
than
out?
Four. He was out there on the field.
Well,
Yes. Okay,
maybe he could return this week.
He was working with
this week.
He was working with Tyson DeVry. They were working on some block and agility drills, and Tyson DeVry had a green number 80 jersey. So whoever is number 80 for the Dolphins, that's his role for the week.
Pisano, right?
Pisano, I think it is. I didn't have the Dolphin roster handy, so I didn't know for sure. But that's a couple of the tidbits we saw. Not much else. Just stretching and typical agility work at the start, and then we were ushered out.
Well, concerning about Jordan, huh?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, he just might not have been out there for the time we were there.
Well, I'm concerned if Jordan and Maroney aren't there.
Right. If they're not in the game, sure. I mean, because Jordan was the guy who came in for Maroney and picked up the slack in the third quarter. So you kind of need one or the other.
I know Echols not a guy.
Right.
I know that he's not a guy that's going to carry the ball a lot, but that showed me that there was at least some concern.
Yeah,
about
they brought back Kyle Echols. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Iggy from Madrid, I guess, is coming over from Spain.
Yes. That's... Wants to hand-deliver lunch.
Okay.
From Spain, paella.
No, he said he was wondering if there was a Spanish restaurant in this area. That
you know
Bell.
I don't speak.
Yeah, that's
Spanish.
About as close as we get around here.
Qdoba.
This is the middle of Foxborough.
Actually, I think there's a place in Walpole called Jalapenos.
Honestique?
Which
really?
It's not. It's it's Mexican fare, but it's one of the better ones I've had.
Well, Eric, are they all the same?
But again, it's Mexican. It's very good. Acapulco.
What is it?
Acapulco.
Never heard of it.
In Franklin Center, very very good restaurant. But
Mike, we had a call in from Matt in Oregon, who's one of our loyal listeners. And despite his complete trashing of me, he is a very, very good listener.
Brought us elk meat once.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He wanted to take issue with what you and I were saying.
Elk?
About MMA as opposed to boxing.
Oh,
and
Christ.
How you were saying that MMA is
well, Matt writes
skillless.
In again. He says,
Parenti there yet? I want to fight him.
He's here.
I had one more thing. When Mike gets back, let him know that if he still wants to debate the technical merits of all that, quote, rolling around on the ground, I'd be happy to meet him at the Seattle game in December and give him a free ass kicking. I mean lesson.
Okay, yeah. We'll see who's getting his ass kicked and who's stuffed in a trunk
just
on the way
so you
out.
Know, he's a pretty big dude.
I'm taking Matt in this one.
He is. And so is Kimbo Slice, and he gets his ass kicked.
He also carries large guns.
And he's fat, and he's uncoordinated. It doesn't make any difference how big he is.
He's uncoordinated.
Makes no difference whatsoever.
I say Matt would wipe the mat with you.
Good for him, and good for all the MMA average Joes who come out of the closet and out of the garage and wherever else they come from, and they
based
win
on
a title every 3 weeks.
Too.
Win some reality show, and you know, all of a sudden now they're high-skilled fighters because they kick people in the shins and roll on the ground for 5 minutes. Great. Be still my beating heart. Sign me up for $69.95 on pay-per-view to watch that crap.
It might be still after Matt gets done with you.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed. Put me out of my misery, Matt, please.
Joel from Merrimack, New Hampshire says, speaking as a martial artist, Matt is both right and wrong. Put Mayweather in an octagon with an experienced MMA fighter, and Mayweather loses, no doubt. Conversely, put an MMA fighter in the ring and only allow him to use his hands, and Mayweather knocks the guy out in the first round. Right. Muhammad Ali got into the ring with a kickboxer early in his career and regretted it. I don't remember if Ali won, but if you looked at the film of Ali after the fight, you could see he'd been beaten on pretty well. MMA has been around for over 20 years now, and it is not like professional wrestling, which seems to be what Parenti thinks.
Professional wrestling's been around longer, so what's the comparison?
And it's fake.
Around for
and it's
years.
Fake. And it's goof. And it's scripted. I don't want to talk about MMA.
Max,
seriously.
Max
neither
Bear,
do we.
Max Bear left boxing and like got into wrestling at the end of his career, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's been around. That's
I would love to see one
20s.
Of these MMA mechanics and you know refrigerator installers go in there and land a shot on Floyd Mayweather. Give me a break. But that's all I have to say about that.
It is confirmed.
What did
Bob's
you call him? A refrigerator
repair
mechanic?
Man. Yeah.
I like repairman.
I like it.
Bob Sanders, it's confirmed, is out up to 6 weeks. Didn't we say that already?
It's confirmed.
So he'll
he's taking his yearly sabbatical because he's always out every year for
last
certain.
Year up was to, the only year he didn't do that, and he ended up winning
defensive player of the year. Yeah.
Right.
Up to 6 weeks?
Up to 6 weeks.
So four to six weeks.
Most likely be back for the Patriots game, sounds like. That's week
he's
nine.
Out 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know what that
saving
is.
All his bullets for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Then lose no mana.
I just think
anything else, Mike, before
procedures.
We get back to the emails? Any other news topics you want to bring up? No?
No, okay. Not much.
All right.
I gave you all I had from practice. That's all I could squeeze out of that 10-minute window.
You were summarily panned yesterday in your host role, so just so you know.
Not true. Some people loved us, Mike.
People weren't
there
happy.
There was the one guy who did love you guys.
You know, I don't really read the papers listening to
critics. Yeah, you don't have time for that.
I don't pay attention to that stuff. I just do what I have to do and focus on the little things.
Now, Andy was just too lazy, so he figured – put the new guy in the host role?
No,
he wanted to eat. He wanted to stuff his fat face.
No.
That's
last time I hosted,
host.
I was told I could never host again.
That's a lie.
Everyone
you
who hosts
to
is
eat.
Told they can never host again at some point.
You said whoever hosts can't eat, point, so that's why you didn't host.
And
you
then I
to
found
eat.
Out that I was going to get kicked in the nuts anyway and not get a sub.
So you right. ate Paul. So
Rochambeau, you've
yeah,
had.
Yeah, little justice there.
South Park.
I didn't mind hosting. I actually like it. It's a lot of fun. I like being in control.
Not for the listeners, apparently.
Well, you know what? I don't care what the listeners have to say. I really don't.
See, and I get lumped in with that.
I really don't.
I got to change my image, Fred. Can you help me with that? Can you like sign up a consultant for me?
Sure.
We can find you a life coach, Paul.
I don't need a life coach. I need an image makeover.
Okay. I know a good life coach I can get you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who?
I don't want a life coach.
Gary's a life coach?
Oh. One, two.
I thought he was going to play
one,
a
One, two, four. Three, four.
What Gary's mad again?
I think no. You might have lost that.
Life coach? Someone who used to work here?
Michelle Murphy.
Transcripts?
Ready? One, two, three, four, five,
that's
six, seven.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
Sorry. Oh, she has a new job. That's
well, apparently them. Albert Breer thinks he's a life coach. You might as well hire him and
your good friend?
Leech off his
why
services.
Did he bitch slap you again?
What did he do? I didn't bitch slap anybody. We go at it. You know, we have a good time. It's fun.
What are we talking about today? Do we have an update on the
He says he needs to be my life coach, Albert Breer.
Oh, really?
But when I coached Albert Breer, he went on to the Sporting News and all these other places and the Dallas Morning News. So I think my track record speaks for itself.
So you at
the kid
one time
a
as a coach.
Tobacco chewing,
you at one time was Albert Breer's life
yes,
coach.
Yes, that's right.
Really?
I made Albert Breer.
Was this Dallas a paid gig?
No, I just offered my services.
Really?
You kind of get things off, you know, from the ground up and get the ball rolling first and you offer a few discounts and some free services, and then the people will come to you.
But I always wonder about people who teach people to do service, it.
I'm not the one who told him not to iron any of his shirts before he puts them on or take them out of the bag and pull the pins out and put them on.
A weak corduroy blazer over it.
It looks like it came off the yacht club somewhere.
While spitting into a cup.
Not a good look today.
No.
Not a good look.
No.
Really?
Obviously, he's not.
I know that I was poured into my pole, but it still wasn't.
Well, I was going to say, listen to Rob, that I have discontinued my services.
If you're looking for fashion tips, the New England media is not the place to go.
No.
Let me tell you. A bigger group of ruffians and.
All right, Fred, move on.
Read an email. You ran out of gas.
Whatever.
Ruffians. We couldn't even get that one all
ragamuffins have never been assembled. Right, Eric?
I thought you were going to quote your favorite movie, Star Wars. With,
exactly.
Thought you were going to quote.
That's what he just did.
Obi-Wan
Kenobi.
Yeah.
Oh, when he talks there, about.
You'll never find a more.
Mos Eisley. Is that?
Yeah, the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Wretched hive of scum and villainy.
You know what? I didn't remember that quote, but it's a good one.
Yeah. That's a great one.
All right, ink-stained wretches.
I don't speak geek.
Mike from Pensacola, Florida says, "I have a question concerning Troy Brown and Mike Vrabel." Let's say that Troy Brown didn't spend his career in New England playing wide receiver and instead played his whole career playing cornerback like he admirably did in 04, and that Vrabel played tight end instead of linebacker. Who do you think would have been the more productive career at their new position? I would have to go with Troy Brown I have seen a larger sample of him playing cornerback, and I think it would be an easier transition for him than Vrabel, who I have only seen play tight end in goal line situations and wonder just how successful he would be if he played the position full time. Also, do you think the Pats defense will finish in the top five this year? I think they will.
That's ridiculous. It would clearly be Vrabel.
I think.
Are you just saying you have no idea?
Oh, first of all,
how do you know?
Well, I don't really care, but I would probably say the more athletic of the two would last longer.
And that would
I don't see Vrabel as anything more than like a goal line tight end. He's not the kind of tight end that's going to run 7 or 8
He's pretty athletic for a guy his size.
More than Troy Brown would be a quarterback.
And when you watch him run those pregame routes, he's one of the better looking tight ends running the pregame routes.
Well, it doesn't say a lot about the tight ends here.
I love questions like that, though, because it's
fun.
It's fun.
Yeah. Stupid.
There's no way to know.
I'd go with Vrabel.
Can we put it this way? Both guys would have short careers trying to do that?
Well, wouldn't you say, though?
I don't know about that.
How long would Troy Brown last in the NFL as a full-time cornerback?
Well, if he had started all his life,
you have no way of
like
knowing.
Terrence Wheatley?
But growing up, though, and you're learning the game of football, going through Pop Warner, high school, getting to college, if you can play wide receiver, you play wide receiver. Otherwise, you play cornerback.
Well, generally, they say if you can't catch, they move you to corner.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
He could catch. But guys who can play wide receiver can still play corner.
Right. They can. But does the same work with
linebacker and tight end?
I don't know.
That's a bit of an exaggerated cliche, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
I'm not so sure about that. Do you really think every guy that plays defensive back wasn't good enough to be a wide receiver?
I think if you were better than the current wide receiver in high school too. If you were better than the current wide receiver, you'd be playing wide receiver.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Here we go.
Like I said, it's just a fun thing.
All your fights start out as fun facts until you two are yelling.
There's no way to answer the question.
No.
The thing about Vrabel, though, the argument is you only ever see him in goal line situations. Well, there's only ever been one pass thrown to him that he didn't catch for a touchdown. And every time he goes into a game, people know he's in the game for a reason. That they're going to throw the ball to him pretty much 99% of the time.
He blocked.
And the fact that he blocked again in the Jets game. It was a Jets game, right? Yeah. That he came in. But for the most part, he comes in the game in that position. They're going to throw the ball to him.
And he delivers.
Full time at those positions.
I think
like
Vrabel would have
wise,
success.
I think both of them probably would have been.
What do you think is
successful.
Harder? Okay, here's a better question. I think than not to take anything away from the last emailer, but along the same line, what do you think is harder? To have played the positions that they played and come in and make an interception or come in and catch a touchdown pass?
Interception.
I think so, too.
Interception.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Cornerback goes against.
It's more difficult, you got to be able to backpedal, turn, run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're reacting to a guy.
Right.
I think it's very hard for a guy to run full speed at you and you to react to which way he's going.
But I wouldn't even say like the interception.
I mean, just Tom Ashworth caught a touchdown.
Covering a guy effectively. Is harder than catching a touchdown.
Right.
In that goal
that's what
situation.
I mean.
Because
corner is probably
one
of the harder positions on the field.
I think it is. Yeah.
Behind quarterback, maybe?
A good offense
physically,
gets, 40 or 50 touchdowns a year?
What's sure. That?
And a good defense might get 20 interceptions. So, I mean, obviously the touchdowns are a lot easier to come by than interceptions. So just covering a guy effectively to me, would be a lot hotter than.
But I agree with Paul. I think they're both very good athletes. If they were
honed
in a certain direction since high school or college,
yeah,
they probably would have been relatively successful either position.
Iggy, now I was talking about this, and then we got Mike came in, I think, and we got off talking about Iggy coming over from Madrid.
Paella.
And I think as far as the lunch, we could just keep it simple. We don't need anything special.
Paella.
As long as, you know, Andy gets his sandwich. But he says, just to satisfy Andy's curiosity, we are crossing the pond just to watch the Patriots game against the Dolphins.
Wow.
Granted, I had to convince my wife with some other activities, like booking some whale watch tickets in Boston and planning a foliage scenic drive in Vermont. Oh, boy.
Did I have a funny look in my eyes when I was doing that? I'm really concerned about this deer in the headlight thing.
But the game is the main course. As promised, we will personally deliver you guys some food as we'll visit Patriot Place on Tuesday. P.S. Is really Lawrence Maroney as bad as he looked against the Jets? Wow. People didn't think he looked that good.
And he's not as good as he's looked in some of his good games. He's
in between.
Middle.
I mean, when he came in the game, weren't they 8 in the box when he came in the game or in the first half?
It looked that way.
You know, I mean, I don't know if Jordan or Morris would have been any better in those situations.
He danced, Fred.
But
he danced.
Paul's right. He did dance a little bit more than we wanted.
I don't know what to think anymore. Like, I was.
It's starting to be too late.
But I was pretty much convinced that he was what he was. He's just an average back and was never going to be any better. But then the last 6 or 7 games last year, December and into the playoffs, I was like, this is the guy. This is the guy I thought they were getting when they drafted him. This is the guy we've seen flashes for. And now he's doing it consistently. And now this year, I think he's kind of back to that guy that we all thought was kind of what he was.
He's not running so far the way he ran in those games, which was decisive, downhill, hitting the holes. He's dancing again.
Okay.
He is what he is.
Kevin writes in, our first-round pick played much better than the Jets, didn't he?
Yes.
That would be Vernon Golston.
That's one thing we didn't talk about the other day, too. We didn't hear Golston's name once in that game.
He didn't play that much on defense.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about him.
He's struggling.
Event.
He's struggling according to the Jets
guy. Genie's giving me out by saying the rule, he was limited in the early going, and that really set him back. But he's clearly disappointing.
Now, he's also playing behind two guys that are playing very well.
Right.
I will give that. I mean, they do have some depth at that spot. Pace and Thomas are off to really good starts, and they both were very active in the game Sunday on the outside. Brian Thomas and
number
Calvin
six
Pace. There's no question he should be playing more, and he's not playing. I think he maybe played a handful of snaps that I noticed. He didn't play very much.
Along those lines of disappointing first-round picks, Ben Watson, everybody talks about as a disappointment based on the injuries, can't stay on the field, all of that. You see Ben Troop, who free agent went from Tennessee to Tampa, now cut. So he was the guy that everybody said, if they're going to take a tight end, you might as well take Ben Troop. He's way better. Well, he's maybe an even bigger disappointment than Ben Watson is. So either way, if they took a tight end there, they were going to be wrong.
Okay.
It's interesting. Maybe we should do a study on tight ends in the first round as opposed to wide receivers.
Vernon Davis. Boo. Boo. Getting close.
I don't know. Is he?
Getting close.
His number's not good.
If he's not good
Every
this
time
year.
I see highlights on him, he's making a big play.
Yeah, I thought he had a great.
But this year, Mike Martz has said he wants him to be the focal point of the offense, so I don't really know what he's done through 2 weeks. But if he doesn't break out this year, then.
But part
boost.
Of it, I mean.
Boost.
Don't you have to at least give him some rope?
That he's on a bad team?
Well, and with.
With which to hang himself?
With which?
To hang himself.
Alex Smith. I mean, maybe the epitome of the bust right now. I mean. That's tough to overcome.
Yeah. Wow. Vincent writes in, he says, in response to a prior erroneous email, I am also an African-American listener and lifelong Patriots fan.
Yes.
Trust me, PFW in Progress has more than
three
African-American listeners. They just sit back and enjoy the show.
How did we get on that topic?
Some guy claimed he was the only regular African-American
People's
listener.
Champion.
And we knew we already had Lucky. And
I thought we were called out for being racist or something. Oh. What did we do yesterday?
But, Eric's the only racist on this panel.
Well, you're a neocon.
No, I'm not.
I don't even know what that is.
You're not a neocon?
No.
Sounds bad, though.
Neocon?
I'm a moderate independent, Fred.
Moderate
You should
independent.
Know that.
I don't
From
know.
All the discussions we have upstairs. And
you.
Know.
Didn't you create a little.
You can't go, don't, seriously, I'm serious. Don't go around saying stuff like that.
Well, you shouldn't say stuff like you said. That got you that reputation on this show.
No, I got to tell Andy, you, seriously,
that's terrible.
Don't say things
a serious
like
that. Topic
yes,
again.
It is. Don't say things like that.
It is a serious topic.
In all seriousness,
I agree, but everybody knows I'm kidding.
Well, not everybody who listens knows you're kidding.
Okay, Eric. Reach that line again with Eric.
Seriously, Andy, don't say things like that.
I didn't say it again. Drop the topic.
This is what you do to me all the time.
People fight.
Up, oh, somebody's at the door.
I didn't finish reading it yet.
It's all right, Eric.
Hi, okay. This is Eddie Mack. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Directory Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. What the hell are you guys up to now?
Well, thank you, Eddie, but it is Urban Dictionary if people actually want to look it up, and not Urban Directory. That might take you to a different street. Gary made the quick switcheroo. He gave me one initially that I was going to read, but a late second now he wants me to change to Spanish Ninja. Spanish Ninja.
Oh.
It involves man, woman, and props. That's all I'm saying.
Stripper writes in a fun
fact.
That
was for Iggy, right, I assume?
Fun fact.
Both Hobbs and Merriweather have the same number of interceptions as Asante Samuel does. I like it. Did you see Samuel get flagged for that big play against the Eagles?
Yeah, I saw
against
that.
Against the Cowboys?
What did he do?
Just pretty much molested somebody in the end zone.
It wasn't that egregious. I didn't think.
It was a clear, easy call, though.
It must have been a bad call if you didn't think it was that egregious.
I know, huh, for Asante Samuel?
At first he was woofing. And then, you know, because he thought the play – the flag came out, but they thought the play was going to be ruled dead. But then they – you know, the refs turned it around and said, okay, the penalty does count.
What?
Because they thought the ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, okay.
But the ball didn't even come close to anyone.
No. Was his pick a nice pick?
Samuels?
I didn't see that. You know, I actually didn't turn on until the McNabb fumble or the botched handoff to Westbrook.
Because I was actually thinking, when I didn't see the game, and I saw the score, and I go, uh-oh, Patriots fans are going to be all over Asante Samuel giving up 41
points. I was reading in the aftermath of that game how that was supposedly a good loss for the Eagles because, you know, they showed some things in the first three quarters. But, I mean, they blew
win.
The game.
They
I
blew
mean,
the
they
game.
They pissed
Absolutely.
The game away. They botched a handoff, a simple handoff.
Two of them.
And their defense melted down in the fourth quarter.
Both defenses didn't play well, but there was also, kickoff return for a touchdown. There was a defensive score for the Eagles. So
I think it was more a bad throw by Romo. It wasn't one of those ones where Samuel read
who
the play. Pick. I can't remember off the top of my head. But you know how, I think it was like the Bears game a couple of years ago here where he went off his guy to make the it wasn't anything like that. It was just, I think, sort of an errant throw. And it was sort of in the middle of the field. Yeah, it was all right. It was all right.
I'm just not a big moral victory guy. Well, never really have
I'm
been.
I'm particularly not a big moral victory guy for an already good team.
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing if you're trying to build something. You know, the one I always use, Fred, 2001, when the Patriots were first starting to get good and they lost the game in Denver when Brady threw all his interceptions.
And Brady said,
And I remember everybody in the locker room after the game, Damian Woody, all the guys, they were talking about, you know, really feeling like they let one slip away and how, you know, that they're going to learn from it and not let it happen again. And they were right. I mean, in retrospect, that's exactly right. That was a moral victory that day. They knew what they had done, and they learned from it.
And another
when you're already good, I don't know.
And another good, quote-unquote, loss that year was the Rams game.
Yeah,
five Rams got carted off the field, and the Patriots said, you know, hey,
we
can play
with
Fred reveling in
injuries. No, but we can supposedly play with the best team.
Yeah, that team was smoking everybody that year.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. That was a good
game.
And
I did like seeing five of them get carted off the field.
No, I know.
With them.
So the Chiefs had a good loss?
What's that?
Chiefs had a good loss.
It might
one?
Prove to be, but I don't know. It's too early to say.
Hard to say that now after against
exactly.
By
the
Raiders.
I was
just referencing that Tom Brady got carted off, so that would be if they meet again, is that a good loss? If they say the Chiefs and the Patriots meet in the playoffs, well, they had a good loss early in the year because Tom Brady got hurt.
The fact that the Chiefs,
you shouldn't be saying that.
That's not what I said, idiot.
You said five guys were carted off.
I think he was talking about the physicality of the game.
Campaign with the distortions and the lies.
Just admit that you're going to vote for him.
I'm not.
What lies? What distortion?
And they're the only campaign that does that, too.
They do it better than anyone. Oh,
that's right. That's why you'll be voting for them.
Well, I generally assume they're both lying and telling me what they think I want to hear.
All right. So vote for Ron Paul or Ralph Nader, then, if you're that, you know. Josh in Arlington, Virginia is demanding that I ask Andy about the bet he had with his wife.
15 minutes. You couldn't make it. He was hoping it didn't come up, Josh.
She is not happy. How about we make it a replica jersey versus a gift?
I don't even know what's the bet.
They want to bet
straight up
McCain Obama. I have McCain, they have Obama. That
who's they?
And I don't know. What's the guy's name?
Josh.
Oh, Josh. Adalys Thomas authentic jersey versus a $200 gift certificate to any place I want.
I thought it was $250.
You gonna bet him? Because I know you were jumping to bet me.
You want the jersey?
No. Andy would get the gift certificate. Like,
what would he do with the jersey?
That's why I was
going to wear it to work.
In fact,
Thomas is ridiculous.
I've already pondered it. If I slither through the locker room post game and try to reach up and snag a jersey, so I don't have to pay.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Should I make the bet? Oh no, you think Obama's going to win?
Well, I'll make the bet. But you're
for a replica jersey versus a $75 gift certificate or whatever.
Okay.
Dieter's a little down on the $200+ involved.
Oh, you had to ask her if it was okay?
Of course I did. I don't make decisions on my own.
Yeah, I know. Basically.
We are a group effort in the Hart household.
Okay.
No, you're just
you have to ask when you There's bought no that.
Seeing as how she makes more money than you.
Well, that goes without saying.
That's your fault.
Yeah. Not really. I mean, he is a man, isn't he?
Isn't he?
Where's that voice coming from?
Fred turning owl. Back the clock 50 years.
You want to make $5
to make money. So is Brady less of a man because Giselle makes more money?
No, but he controls his own fate. I mean, if Giselle left him, he wouldn't be.
I would, too. No, it's my house. My mom gave it to me.
Exactly. I was just saying, your mommy gave you a house, and your wife supports you. I mean, so, you know.
Exactly. I like the little life I've built for myself.
So maybe Hillary Clinton can give you her set.
So with all that, you're squabbling over $250 of a jersey?
What?
You got issues.
She's got a bigger set than Andy, I can tell you that right now.
She does. I'd be scared to see what's below.
Oh.
You get that, Dan?
Mark tape.
She's one of them. What's Jamie Lee Curtis?
Aphrodite?
Hermaphrodite.
Aphrodite.
I like working with Fred.
Let's see. John, again, says, are there hopes of Troy retiring as a Patriot? And if so, will the Patriots retire his number?
No.
No. There is hopes that he'll retire as a Patriot, but the Patriots will not retire his number.
He's not going anywhere else, is he?
However, he probably will go into the Hall of Fame at some point.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots Hall of Fame?
Probably.
I'm not sure.
If he's not a Patriots Hall of Famer, then you need to rework the fence.
Okay.
Huh? That's one of
you
the more.
You really think there's a chance he's not a Patriots Hall of Famer?
Oh, come on, Fred.
Okay.
Why is there doubt? Why do you have any
team history?
You're right. When you look at the numbers, he should be.
But he has the whole spectrum from big plays that won titles down to the heart and the pride of the franchise. Everything. He's the whole
impact. No, you're probably
right. You're probably right.
Remove the word probably.
Stop it. You're really upsetting me now.
Weren't there only one or two players who played as many seasons with this team as he did?
Yeah, he's right behind Julius Adams. And he's got the most catches. He won Super Bowls.
Yeah,
you're
probably right.
He made big plays and big games for a lot of years.
You're right.
Had 100 catches, went to a Pro Bowl.
I'm not even taking numbers. I mean, he made big plays and big games over a five-year stretch.
It just seems to me that the reason why I hesitate is when you look at it from an outside view and what other teams think of as great Patriots, I don't know if Troy Brown's in that mix.
Oh, of course he is. I think he's one of those names that comes up.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. On Monday Night Countdown the other night, Chris Carter said, I'd give back all my catches to a guy like Troy Brown who made big plays but didn't have as many catches to win Super Bowls for that team.
Okay.
So Chris Carter knows who Troy Brown is and that he's a key
figure. So he's a lock then.
I think he's a lock.
I got to think he's a lock.
Okay.
And I think you should be off the panel if probably before his name.
But he still doesn't get his number retired.
No one does.
No one gets their number retired. That's going to be reserved
unless
for...
Unless they go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, that's a different story.
That's going to be reserved for number 12.
Right.
Why is it, this is still John in South Carolina, why is it some of the guys have negative feelings about Ben Coates? I love the guy when he played with the Pats. And P.S., he's still sorry about lunch, but he's sticking with the policy of blaming someone else. It can't possibly be my fault.
That's the Patriot way.
Have we been ripping
Who's
Ben
down
Coates?
On Ben
What'd
Coates?
What did you guys say yesterday?
No, we didn't.
We didn't even
Ben
discuss
Coates.
Ben Coates yesterday.
Ben Coates was a terrific Patriot.
Well, yeah. We did. We
Not
were
the
questioning
best guy in the world.
Hall
but.
Of Fame credentials in terms of pro, because he, in his conference call when he was elected to the Patriots Hall of Fame, was sort of saying, well, this is good for now, but I'll be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame someday.
And I'm not so sure
that's
about
that. That's a short span of dominance, but very
terrific,
dominant.
Terrific Patriot.
Made Drew Bledsoe.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Josh says, no way to the bet, authentic or nothing.
All right,
you saw
nothing.
What happened to Ben nothing. Coates when he lost Drew Bledsoe.
Because I'm going
to
take my little testicles and go home.
Take your ball and go home.
Also, another email for Andy from someone who gives you a link to a signed Mendenhall
That's
helmet.
Link.
I'll wait a couple weeks. It'll be cheaper.
Oh, you don't think he's going to do much now?
I don't know. He didn't do anything last week. Zero carries for
Mort
0 yards.
Was really
yards.
Talking him up today. Ooh. Chris Mortensen. Talking about the stable of rookie running backs, which has been very impressive, by the way. I think
Mendenhall.
three of the first four rushers after 2 weeks are rookies. Chris Johnson's one of them.
Chris Johnson has had an impact. Felix Jones has had an impact. Darren McFadden was two.
Felix Jones isn't even one of those guys that's in the top four. And then he said Mendenhall will be heard from.
I agree. He's the best player in the draft.
But he specifically threw him in there despite the fact that he hasn't really played yet.
Not a single carry last week.
Stripper says that Andy and Mike did a great show yesterday.
Thank you, Strippers.
That's what.
That's two.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a groundswell in Eric's book.
Dave from the Philippines is writing in. He says, although he's not in the Philippines this week, he's in Syracuse. He had a wonderful.
That's a big difference.
Obviously, to catch the Northeastern Syracuse game this weekend.
I had a wonderful time this week, as last Saturday I had to go to the local pizza place and listen to the pizza guy brag about how the Jets were going to trash the Pats. Then I got to go back there Monday and ask him, so, those Jets looked really good, didn't they? Life couldn't be better. Unfortunately, he was good-natured about it. My pizza was still good. Well, you must not have tasted the saliva that he put in there.
I wasn't sure what you were going
else.
There.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Some bodily fluid.
The special sauce.
If you email me early enough in the day with instructions, I can get an order in for you. So
put him on the list.
Yep,
can we effort that?
I'm so sorry that the team did what I thought / hoped they would do without Brady. As important as he is, the team is still full of good players, and a number of them seem to be much improved. I don't see an undefeated season in our immediate future, but I can easily see 11-5 or even 12-4 based on what I've seen so far. The defense is doing great. Castle seems to be able to do what needs to be done without trying to do too much more than that. If they don't have too many more major injuries, they'll be fine. Mayo looks absolutely great, playing every down on defense in his first two games as a rookie. On a Belichick coach team, who would have predicted that on draft day? And granted, no one is picking us to win the Super Bowl now, but once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. If I were a betting man, I'd lay a few bucks down now while the odds are long. You never know. It could pay off.
He also continued the trend of solo tackles. I believe it was 6-0 this week or 7-0.
Yeah.
He had that one nice one in the backfield.
Yep.
He's a pretty good player now.
Yeah.
Although Patrick Willis is still a pretty good player. You see that interception?
Oh,
return?
Yes.
86 yards.
Looks like a running back on the return.
He was ridiculous.
He is a stud.
But Mayo so far.
Yeah.
He's stud, but not quite as studly.
Not yet. Not yet.
He's good.
Yeah.
But you give him a couple years like Willis and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is his second year, and Willis had the NFL record for tackles as a rookie.
They added three assists.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Six unassisted, one assist. Six unassisted, three assists for the two games. So far. So he's got 16 tackles.
Is he second, third on the team? Second?
Harrison's number one, I think.
Because Harrison leads the team.
Yeah.
He was second in the game 2 weeks in a row, right?
In the game book.
Right,
or,
so
yeah.
He might be first.
No, he's not first.
No, Harrison is not. Still in
Harrison,
one.
Harrison led, and he had a ton the first. He had like 14, 15 tackles the first week.
Yeah, Harrison's got 22, and then Mayo's second with 16.
Mayo!
Pruski's third with 15. Seven solos, eight assists.
Good production, though, out of a part-time player.
He's played well, I think.
Now, Paul's been having a running feud with a guy named William Berry.
Yes,
Mayo,
he has.
What's that all about?
Well, that's over now.
It's over?
Yeah.
You guys made up?
No.
Fred, you tell us if it's over, because you sounded like you had an email.
No, this is an email from him, but it's not about that.
Okay.
Although he does mention at the end, which I'll get to. But
that's fine.
You're all set with him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It went on for quite a while. A lot of William Berry emails coming in.
A lot of William Berry emails. He
well,
was
there
taking
were
over the
Perillo
show.
Emails going out that influenced the fire.
Right, but he kept sending them back to web radio and not just me. That's why Fred saw them all.
Well, good. William, keep doing that because I like to see them all. I like laughing.
Well, I told you everything that was going on anyway.
He says, one more thing about watching the games on TV. I have no idea about 90% of what happened. One thing Fred may look into, a tape of the game with a couple of you guys as color men. I'd pay like $20 or $30 for that on Wednesday or whatever.
$20 a week?
So basically we would take the game after the fact
and
redub it with us commenting on the game as it's going. You remember that Mystery Theater 2000 that used to be on TV on the Sci-Fi Channel?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and from behind?
Yeah.
We'd do something like that.
Alien heads?
Eric,
yeah. We could do something like that.
That's behind.
If they did that with... Yeah. They wouldn't see the game.
Andy's head would fill the whole screen.
True.
Anyway, he says, I did not watch, frankly, I did not watch Golston. Given before the draft, I was one of the millions that wanted Golston and was sad when the Jets picked him. Despite one of the PFW guys thinking I'm a blind Patriot homer, I thought Mayo was the consolation pick. No, Paul, I thought that the Belichick Pioli built him up to fool the Jets into picking the wrong guy was crap. And yes, I heard that theory.
I don't know what we're talking about now.
That we had such high things to say about Mayo to try to get the Jets to pick him.
Mayo!
Mayo!
Liked,
yeah, because the
Mayo.
Jets listen to this show.
Yeah, they might.
I really liked a lot Mayo of listeners. In that draft thing. And, you know, I loved Golston, too. Listen, I'm not convinced that Golston's a bust. I think that he's got a slow start. That's all.
It happens.
And if he was in New England, he'd have a slow start here,
yeah,
too.
Because he wouldn't be starting
Vrabel
over AD and Vrabel.
And AD. Right.
Todd writes in, what was up with Brian? Would you like fries with that Maury standing up a Hall of Famer yesterday? I guess he was late for his Inside the Hall show.
Brian's not real responsible.
You're so full of it.
No, but yesterday was a crazy day. Today's a crazy day. They got the ribbon cutting of the Hall
because
tomorrow.
Because if there was a
things must be
kinda,
really serious.
I don't know.
He's even, not even joking.
Yeah, Fred's not taking part.
He's running around.
Is the museum ready?
You know, guys.
It's going to be ready for tomorrow. Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, they're still hanging some signs and stuff, but it's all in there. It's just a matter of screwing things in.
Okay.
Mark tape care.
I don't know.
55 in the show.
Like floorboards, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. We got.
Well, if it's the ceiling that needs to be screwed in, that might be an issue.
It's exhibit stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, no. The structurally,
how's that temperature
it was sound.
In that
how's
Adam
the cold air?
It was actually, they had the heat going yesterday.
It's now.
Oh,
the
realistic.
Kick is now actually in Tampa.
You know,
just
no,
so
I was
going to
say, it really happened in Miami in the first game.
You know how, like, when like it's a hot day and you look at the hoods of cars, you can see, like, the heat. That's the way it was looking at the radiator. I could see the heat waves coming off
what
it.
What the hell is going on?
What
in
the
there?
Hell's going on here? And he
what
said,
"What the hell are you guys up to now?"
Right, Eric. He says did a good job on Rook last week. He thinks it's a good match. So there you go.
All right, thanks.
Those are the ones. That
see
are
now,
tough to
Eric,
read.
You can't even take a compliment. No,
I said thanks.
I
agree with Eric
face.
Here because
you didn't, people didn't
are
see
they really
face.
Complimenting or they just want him off this show and they're playing that little game?
Right.
Well, that's Radice, what you're. Right. That's what Eric's thinking.
Why doesn't he just take the compliment?
I did.
Right.
I said thanks.
He did.
But
did.
With
no, he said, yeah, yeah.
Well done, Eric. Well done.
Didn't take the compliment.
Screw them.
Thank
he
you,
was
Andy.
Whining.
God, thank you very
and
much.
God bless you, Andy.
You're just
thank
trying
you
to get
much.
Back on his good side because you said
no.
bad things about
no.
him.
Right.
And you were
no.
wrong.
I always tell the truth.
Oh.
Oh. Man.
Wow.
Let's no, stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
I can't hit you way down here. And like, we're in the ground under concrete. It's like a bomb shelter.
Besides,
wearing.
The good Lord wouldn't interrupt the best round of my life.
Let's see.
Caddyshack. How could you not know
Todd Caddyshack? Also says the Andy and Mike show was overrated. Andy is better when he's throwing bombs from the backyard. So
you can never please people.
Yeah, no, nobody's ever satisfied.
You don't get the full Andy experience when there's only two because he actually feels like he has to contribute. He can't just right. think of the most sophomoric thing to say.
I think he still did that yesterday.
I thought I did a good job weaving in and out of football, sophomoric.
Yeah, it was
football,
fine.
Sophomoric.
We went on tangents. We discussed different topics.
Lesbian
oh, tangents.
Weddings.
Yeah, I heard there weren't enough of those
weddings.
Lately.
You know, we didn't beat certain topics to death.
Chris Ferreira
was
down
fine.
On us recently, Fred. Said our shows have been too much football, not enough tangents.
How's that?
You
we
can't
talk
win.
Too much football.
You can't win.
One
you
of the
win.
One of the best webmasters in the NFL.
He is.
One of.
He is.
Used to be the best.
He used to be the best. Now he's just
Chris
one
Hansen's
of the
best.
Well,
one of the best punters
I'm
in the league.
I'm leaving some room
too.
For Eric because I don't personally know all the, you know, so if he's not the best, he's one of the best. How about that? Is
I don't
that
know.
Better?
Oh, you're backtracking
a little
bit. He
does put together a site that has a lot on it, but it's hard to find.
I can't imagine it. Let me put it this way.
Seamless.
I can't imagine another team's website webmaster being better.
I can.
I can't.
I don't know much about that business, but
I can't.
That's right. The best it has to offer.
Before we end the show.
Then I'm joining IT or whatever he does. Web.
I just want to remind people about Saturday. It's the reinduction of all the Patriots Hall of Famers. They'll all be here, including the newest one, Ben Coates. It's an outside ceremony with Gil Santos emceeing with John Rook. It'll be in the Patriot Plaza. In front of the hall at Patriot Place, starts at 3 o'clock. It's free to all. Come have dinner at CBS Scene afterwards. It'll be a great time. That is this Saturday at 3 o'clock. And on the phone right now from his basement is John Rook. John, how you doing?
Excellent, Fred.
What's happening today?
Getting ready for the big Hall of Fame.
That's right. You're going to be emceeing
ceremony,
it.
As you were just talking about. That's right.
Right. What can people expect on that day?
I guess it seems to me that they're going to allow people to come in. They're going to have a seating for about 1,000 out there in front. So it'll be kind of a first-come, first-served thing. We mentioned this a little bit on yesterday's show, and I know Brian and tip when Brian finally got there yesterday.
Brian really getting it.
Yeah, well, that's okay. He understands. I mean, you know, he's a radio professional. He knows to show up 20 minutes late for a show. I think it's a first-come, first-serve thing. So about 1,000 seats, so, and I think they'll open it up around 1 o'clock, and the ceremony is supposed to start right at 3, correct?
Right.
I think that sounds right.
Yep.
Should be some fun. I mean, we spent most of the week – actually, it's kind of funny because it was back at the in the Kraft Sports Productions thing over the last couple of days, and looking at all of the vignettes on the Hall of Famers that are sort of being re-recorded so we can reintroduce them and kind of re-induct them. And several people were listening and looking at the scripts, and it's kind of like, wow, I never realized that this guy did that, you know, while he was here, talking about, you know, players in particular like Bruce Armstrong and, you know, Jim Lee Hunt and you know, guys that, you know, from names that have really come from way back. So yeah. I think in that regard, it will give fans who are longtime Patriots fans, we're talking about going back all 49 years of history here, an opportunity to kind of relive some of the good times. And there were some good times back then, although we've certainly realized that there have been more of them lately in recent years. But I think it'll right. be a fun time to kind of relive and celebrate the franchise.
Well, John, that's go ahead, Andy.
I was just going to ask a quick question. They apparently there's going to be a setup here where you kind of get the old guys to tell some stories.
Yes.
And one of the guys coming back is Vito Babe Parilli.
Yes.
And I would like you to weave in a question, if you could, while you're emceeing, about Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick worked beneath Vito Babe Parilli in the Denver Broncos.
Thanks, Babe.
And I would like to know what his thoughts are on the head coach and the evolution that has become the Hall of Fame head coach.
Now, Belichick worked underneath Parilli?
Yes.
And this was when they were...
Denver, I believe.
At Denver.
Yes.
Wow.
I want to check the facts before you go in front of a large crowd with that information.
No, yeah, I'll try to do a little research on that one. That'd be interesting to get his take on that.
Yeah,
okay.
when Parilli was here last year when Brady broke his team record for touchdowns, Belichick really made it a point to go say hello to him.
Because, thanks, babe. Hang around for a little while.
So, yeah, that's going to be good.
John, one word. Troy Brown, Patriots Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Okay.
Fred Kirsch said
Fred Kirsch
probably.
Has got to think about it.
He's got to think about it?
Fred's embarrassing about performance it. By our boss.
Fred, why?
Well, I just, you know, I was looking at it from a total NFL perspective, but they corrected me. I agree. He should be a lock.
What he's meant to the franchise, I don't think there's
no,
any
absolutely.
Doubt.
No, absolutely. That's why.
Should be the Troy Brown Patriots Hall of Fame.
That's why it's no doubt.
Presented by
Troy Brown.
Sorry, presented by Raytheon.
Yeah, that's yes, why exactly. It's no doubt. When you think about what he's done for this team, yeah, no doubt about it.
Hey, for his, you know, bingo spots alone, he's worth it.
Right. You know? All right, John.
Bingo! So bingo!
Saturday
I got bingo!
At 3 o'clock, and your show is on now.
Yes, sir.
And we'll give way to Patriots Playbook. We will see everyone else tomorrow.